dallascowboys.org.
I'm Calvin Hill. As an all-pro running back for the Dallas Cowboys, my focus was football. But as a husband, father, and now a grandfather, today I'm focused on my family and my heart. Because of my high cholesterol, I'm at risk for heart failure. It's a deadly condition that killed my father and robbed our family of many special moments together. But new medications and devices can help you be there for the ones that you love. Ask your doctor.
Call 1-800-AHA-USA1 or click on the Heart Profiler link at AmericanHeart.org.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Guy James here with you, and so glad to have you with us today. Hope you're feeling good on this. Well, here in Southwest Florida, let me tell you, it is a beautiful Saturday afternoon. Absolutely gorgeous, about 82, 83 degrees, sun shining. Couldn't be better. And I hope it's nice where you are as well. If it's not nice, well, I hope you're cozied up next to your radio or your computer inside and joining the Guy James Show. Hello to Democrats everywhere. Glad to have you along with us today. Glad to have all of our friends here locally in the Fort Myers, Florida, Naples, Florida, Port Charlotte, Sanibel, Captiva Island, the whole area all the way down to Key West. Glad to have you folks with us as well. And, of course, our good friends on the Internet from Democratic Underground and Democrats.com and Smirking Chimp and a whole bunch of different websites, folks listening today. So we're ready to rock. We're ready to have a good show. We want you to help make this a good show today. As always, you call us a talk show. Well, you're going to do some of the talking. Call us at 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502. 7503 and 7504. And for you local folks, you can call us right here at 479-5540. 479-5540 in Lee County. And Canadians, you can call that as well, 479-5540 with the 239 prefix. Well, now that we got all that technical stuff out of the way, hate doing those phone numbers. I don't know why. A lot going on today. We've got protests going on all around the world today. Commemorating the first anniversary of the Gulf or of the Iraq War, almost said Gulf War, the Iraq War, and my a mess it is. We're going to talk about that today. We've got, I think, we're going to have Bill Senator Bill Nelson call in just a while, probably somewhere after 3:30 or 3:40. I don't know what time. They didn't let me know what time. You often run into that with some of these folks that are out. Well, they're out campaigning, helping campaign and so forth, and they don't have a real rigid schedule on Saturday afternoon, so we kind of have to play it by ear when they're involved. So we'll look forward to having Bill Nelson along with us just a little bit longer. Had a chance to meet Senator Nelson in Washington just a few months ago and found him to be an interesting and very friendly guy. So, you know, I wish all of you had the chance to read my mail every week. Well, maybe that's not such a good idea because most of you are ladies and gentlemen and probably shouldn't be subjected to what I'll politely describe as very unkind words. Lately, the writers from the right have particularly enjoyed telling me how mean and nasty those of us on the left are. I have to admit that when they say that, it really does give me a big laugh. Mean and nasty? Democrats? First off, we have some Democrats in Congress who, in my opinion, and the opinion of my friend Bart Kopp and a lot of other friends I know, especially Bart Kopp, has been accusing these Democrats of wearing pink tutus for several years, and a lot of them haven't uttered a word to oppose the right-wingers who've literally steamrolled right over them. Tell me, how mean and nasty is Tom Daschle? How mean and nasty is Nancy Pelosi? How about Al Gore? How about Al Gore? Man, I voted for president, but how mean and nasty was Al Gore when he ran and, by the way, won the election? How mean and nasty was Al Gore? Al pretty much stood aside and invited Bush right into the White House. How many Democrats did you see literally riding over in Miami to make sure the vote was counted properly? Damn, my memory must be getting bad because I don't remember a single Democrat beating on the doors of the election board offices over there to swing the election our way. Democrats mean and nasty, full of hate for George Bush, and these people are serious, really. Let's take a look at the whole picture and then decide if any certain party has been mean and nasty. I wonder if any of the creatures who write those letters remember anything about members of a certain political party calling the members of the opposite party un-American or unpatriotic last year when some of them, who we now know were absolutely right in opposing Bush's foolish war. Any Democrats calling Republicans unpatriotic or un-American, anti-American? Mean and nasty, the Democrats? Come on. I wonder if any of my Republican friends are familiar with a guy by the name of Grover Norquist, who runs, what is that called? Right-wing, it's a right-wing organization, Americans for Tax Reform, or in other words, Americans who don't want to pay taxes themselves, but would rather have somebody else pay their share for them. You know, I'm being facetious when I say that, because every Republican knows who Grover Norquist is. Old Grover's so right-wing that early on in the Bush administration, he said, and I hope I can get this right without twisting it all up, he actually said this, and I quote, "There isn't an us and them with this administration. They is us, we is them." That's how confident he was of having the Bush administration people in his back pocket. And at a Republican fundraiser in 2001, if I can find the quote around here someplace, this endearing man, Norquist, said, oh, and I quote, "The Democrats are the lefties, the takers, the coercive utopians. They are not stupid. They are evil." Evil, said Norquist. But I guess that's not mean and nasty, huh? Or how about Mr. Newt Gingrich, conservative god who had to leave Washington under a real cloud of scandal, but who's now back and using his considerable influence, I might add, behind the scenes. How about Mr. Gingrich while speaking at the Conservative Heritage Foundation back in 1988? Mr. Gingrich said, and I quote, "This war between liberals and conservatives has to be fought with a scale and duration and savagery that is only true of civil wars." Can you believe a guy would say that? A man in a high office, can you believe he would say that? Or how about when Newt said, and he actually did say this, that it was the Democrats' fault that Susan Smith, you remember that mother down in South Carolina that killed her two kids, drowned them in the lake? He said that was the fault of the Democrats. Yes, Newt Gingrich actually said that. Democrats mean and nasty? Be serious. Or how about our fellow talk show host, Mr. Limbaugh? You know, the guy who bought all those pills in the Denny's parking lot for his backache. The guy whose back hurt so bad he even had to send his maid out to buy the stuff because he was hurting so much. The guy who made fun of every celebrity who ever hired high-profile lawyers like Roy Black and then went out and hired him himself. Oh, my. The same Rush Limbaugh who demonized the ACLU, but now they're protecting him. The same Rush Limbaugh who called the daughter of a sitting president of the United States a dog on national TV. The same Rush Limbaugh who had this excruciating back pain and needed massive amounts of OxyContin, but still could enjoy a game of golf several times a week. The same Rush Limbaugh who makes $140,000 for every one of his shows, convincing millions of dupe listeners who probably don't have two nickels to rub together, convincing them that the Republican Party will make them rich. Yeah, that Rush Limbaugh, the one who proudly stated, and I quote, "We're not trying to establish intimacy with liberals. We want to crush them." Yeah, they want a one-party system. Democrats mean and nasty. Oh, I'll certainly admit that the Republicans have gained the upper hand on us when it comes to that kind of communicating with the public. Absolutely. Look what they've done. How many of you listening right now will have to worry about the, quote, estate tax in your life? I'll tell you how many. About 2% of you, that's all. But the fat cats didn't want to pay the estate tax, so guess what? They renamed it the death tax. And since everybody dies sooner or later, they convinced John Q. Public that they were saving him a lot of money, when in fact they were raising his taxes because much of the burden had been taken off the wealthy estate owners and the recipients. Those estates were passed on to, and the burden was passed on to who? Guess who? That's right, John Q. Public. The right has learned how to frame the issues and how to use the right language to get their agenda promoted with the people. Language is everything to this people. How about the term faith-based groups? Separation of church and state. What are faith-based groups? And what is their relationship with the United States government, if not a violation of separation of church and state? Or how about tax relief? Sounds good, doesn't it? Oh, Junior Bush today was speaking in front of a crowd in Orlando, Florida, saying how the Democrats are going to tax everybody to death. He got them believing that. The term tax relief came right out of a right-wing think tank. Tax relief. Isn't that nice? Vote for us, and we'll give you tax relief. Vote for us, and we'll keep you safe. You won't have to pay hardly any taxes, and we'll put all the bad guys in jail, and you can just live happily ever after. And then, you know, I love it when they say those Democrats are a bunch of elitists. Democrats elitists? Just who the hell do you think owns most of the wealth in this country? Who are the lion's share of people who adorn the society pages in America? Democrats elitists? Give me a break. Democrats mean and nasty? Well, I'm not going to fall for that load of bull, and I suggest you don't either. I'm not going to lay down and let them run over me, and I'm sure as hell not going to let them frame the debate anymore with me. And I'm not going to allow them to define me. I'm going to fight back. I'm tired of Democrats being wimpy, spineless milquetoast. I'm going to remember how Paul Wellstone fought back. I'm going to remember how Harry Truman didn't take any guff from him. I'm going to remember how Dennis Kucinich fights for what he believes and stands up for our party. I'm going to remember the Democratic spirit of John F. Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy and Hubert Humphrey and Sam Rayburn and other great Democrats who never allowed the other side to put them down. But most of all, I'm going to remember that I have a responsibility to myself, my family, my country, and the Democratic Party to never cower in front of this band of neocon radicals. By God, I will stand and fight. That's what this program is all about, and I hope you're with me. Democrats mean and nasty? Wow. I've told you what I think. I want to hear from you. You can call us at 1-888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. We've got a caller on the line right now. We've got Chris in Lehigh. Chris, welcome to the program. Is Chris with us?
Guy.
Yeah, go. You're on.
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
Hey, I got a question now. What's the difference between a liberal Democrat and a communist?
Let's see. How many times do you ask that question before you're officially considered a moron? I think three times and you're out. What a fool. Now, there's a guy that personifies the well-educated right. He has heard what Mr. Limbaugh and Mr. Hannity has told him, and he doesn't know how to do anything. He doesn't know how to think, obviously. That's Chris from Lehigh. And, Chris, you're welcome to call anytime, and sometime when you engage your brain a little bit and have something intelligent to say, why, call us back. We'll always listen. And once again, I do want to invite all of our friends on the Democratic Underground to, we've got a thread going on there in the discussion forum. You're welcome to join us. We hope you do. And we're going to be right back after a short break. Hey, don't touch that dial, because we're going to be right back with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right here on The Guy James Show. Stay tuned. Democrats, there's no doubt America needs new leadership. Grassroots Democrats are energetic leaders in your very own community. They're the folks who get out the vote, register new voters, and inspire us to make America better. You meet them at the grocery store or read their letters to the editor in the paper. They're folks just like you. They're changing the face of local politics in Southwest Florida. These are the people you want to represent you at the Democratic National Convention.
All registered Democrats in the 14th Congressional District, that's all of Lee County and parts of Collier and Charlotte counties, are getting ready to vote for the best of our local leaders. You and all registered Democrats in the 14th Congressional District need to get out and make your voices heard. This is one more opportunity to show our country how serious we are about election 2004. Martha Simons, you've heard her on the Guy James Show often. Martha's running to be a delegate to the Democratic National Convention, and she's asking for your vote. She's not a politician, but she's a tireless and enthusiastic Democratic leader who's bringing her boundless energy from the grassroots. She wants to bring the dynamic ideas of Democratic Party ideals to the convention. She's a fighter and a creative organizer, and she's kept her promise of dedicating every single day to working for dynamic change in our party, always working for the concerns of middle-class and working-class Floridians. She's been a major influence in revitalizing the Democratic Party in Southwest Florida, and she'll give her every ounce of effort to see John F. Kerry inaugurated as the next president of these United States. This summer, Democratic National Convention will be held in Boston, and Martha Simon believes this election will be one of the most important in our country's history, and she wants to give it all she's got. 125,000 registered Democrats in the 14th Congressional District are eligible to vote on Saturday, April 3rd, at 10 a.m. and no later than 12 noon, at Edison Community College, Building A, Room 104. It's not necessary, but if you bring your voter's registration card, it'll make the process easier. And be sure you bring a photo ID. All registered Democrats can come to Edison Community College on Summerlin in Fort Myers. Look for the first building on the left, just south of College Parkway. Use parking lot number 1. It's easier. For more information about the caucus, call the 14th State Committee Chair, Irene Bonu Price, at 239-482-5024. Each Democrat will vote for 2 women and 2 men to send as our delegates. If you want someone who can help us win and will wholeheartedly work for our candidates, trust Martha Simons with your vote on Saturday, April 3rd. She'll make your voice heard.
Heard the right. Men will never break. Left is the truth. Guy James.
We're the boys of Belfast.
And we're back with you here on the Guy James Show. I heard some Irish music a minute ago. Did you hear that, Biz? I don't know. There's some Irishmen hiding around here somewhere. We had a, there was a big parade going on in Naples today, and I guess it was a dandy. From what I hear, all from all reports I've heard, it was one swell parade. I didn't have a chance to. I was invited to be in it today, and didn't have a chance to do it. Just could not make it. Boy, I love those parades down in Naples. Let me tell you, folks around the country, down in Naples, they know how to put on a parade. They really do. And we want to say hello to all of our friends and Guy James Show fans down in Naples. So glad to have you with us this afternoon. Yes, we are celebrating today, actually not celebrating, but commemorating would be a more proper word, the start of this Iraq war, the shock and awe, and all that sort of stuff that went on last year when they started this. Remember how Bush and his friends had everybody whipped up into a frenzy about this war, and oh my, the hawks couldn't wait? Couldn't wait to start dropping those bombs and get going in there, because Mr. Bush and Mr. Powell and Mr. Rumsfeld and Ms. Condoleezza Rice and who else? Colin Powell, I guess all of them. They'd all convinced everybody, just about everybody. Didn't convince me and didn't convince some of you. But it had convinced many, many people that Saddam Hussein was the next Hitler. He was, oh, my God, an immediate threat. A growing, oh, my. We had to keep an eye on him, or he was going to hit us in the next 45 minutes. You know all the stuff they passed out. And it turned out to be a bunch of lies. Ask the other night on CNN, I don't know how many of you saw it, but Don Rumsfeld, who I think is probably the most egotistical, condescending man that I have ever seen. If anybody's more condescending than Don Rumsfeld, I'd like to know who it is. Maybe Henry Kissinger, I'm not sure. Don Rumsfeld was on CNN's Late Edition the other night, and he said this, and I quote, if the war was worth the lives of somebody, okay, he was asked this question. If the war was worth the lives of 564 soldiers killed, he asked if the war was worth that. And Rumsfeld said, oh, my goodness, yes. There's just no question. 25 million people in Iraq are free. Free from what? They say they're doing better now. Well, of course they're doing better. Number one, Saddam's not in their life anymore. But moreover, we've spent $150 billion in that country. We're rebuilding it from the ground up. They're getting new schools, new infrastructure. They've got a big security team of American soldiers over there. Yeah, they're doing better. They really are. And Condoleezza Rice, they just won't let it go. You know, they come out. It's like when something comes out in the newspaper and then there's a correction. You know how they put the correction on the back page of the newspaper? And people are left with the impression of the mistake that happened in the first place. Condoleezza Rice recently repeated that Saddam Hussein had represented the most dangerous regime in the world's most dangerous region. More dangerous than North Korea in terms of direct destructive threat to U.S. parked on the DMZ and Americans at home on the West Coast. More dangerous than Pakistan or Iran or even Israel in terms of weapons technology and proliferation. More dangerous than the decentralized Al-Qaeda organization responsible for 9/11. That's really what she said. How can anybody say that? This guy, all the neighbors over there, Syria wasn't afraid of him. Israel wasn't afraid of him. Turkey wasn't afraid of him. Nobody was afraid of him anymore. You know, and then we have this business of Madrid. What an awful situation that was. And then have you heard some of the terrible comments people from this Bush administration have been saying, calling the Spaniards appeasers? You know, that election was very, very close before they got bombed. It was very close. It was within the margin of error, so it could have gone either way. And the Spanish people did not vote to change regimes because the bombing happened, because they were afraid of the bombing. They voted in a new administration because the old one lied to them, just like George Bush. Aznar didn't learn his lesson. He tried to blame that whole thing on the Basque. Him and all of his cronies blamed it on the Basque. And then we found out a day or two later that it wasn't the Basque after all. It was some outside terrorist organization, possibly Al-Qaeda, and the Spanish people were wise to why Aznar had tried to convince them it was the Basque. Because he didn't want to look like a fool for being the puppy of George W. Bush, just like Tony Blair has been all along. That's why. You know, you're welcome to call us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, or 7504. And you can join in on the program. We hope you do. It always makes for a good program when we have lots of calls. We do enjoy that. You know, 1 year later, the one-year anniversary of the invasion of Iraq, the Washington Post notes that the administration terribly underestimated the financial cost of the occupation. In fact, what did they get right there? What did they get right? Anything? They overstated the ease of pacifying Iraq and the warmth of the reception they thought we were going to get. Remember before the war how Vice President Cheney predicted Iraqi President Saddam Hussein's troop would step aside and that the conflict would be, I believe he said, over in weeks rather than months, a phrase that was repeated over and over and over again by the Bush officials. And others in advisory roles in the administration predicted Iraqi soldiers would throw in the towel and Hussein would collapse like a house of cards. Today, today there's no exit strategy whatsoever. I wish I knew what it was, if there was one, and peace and democracy in the region remain elusive at best. Meanwhile, the administration's pre-war assertion that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction and that they had an operational relationship with al-Qaeda and was an immediate threat to the U.S. All of that's been proven completely false. Completely false. Who's been taken to task for that? I wonder. I wonder who has. We got Hardy in Fort Myers. Hardy, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious. I think maybe that Chris a while ago called from, I forget where he called from.
Called from Lehigh.
Lehigh, or, yeah. Yeah, maybe his question might have been a little on the harsh side, but maybe if he had toned it down some to something more like socialist and liberals, is that fair an answer, or am I a moron too?
Did you go to school?
Oh, certainly. I'm sure you did, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Then why would you have to ask that question?
No, I'm just asking your opinion of that answer.
What's my opinion? What's the difference between a Democrat
and... I want to see what your answer is.
Oh, man. I tell you.
I know what my answer is. That's not why I called.
Tell me what's your answer.
Well, basically, I have difficulty seeing the difference.
Oh, you do?
Yes, sir.
And why is that?
I was going to say one other thing.
Why is that? Why do you have difficulty seeing the difference?
Well, I got another question.
Why do you have... I want you to explain to me why you can't see the difference.
The Democrats kind of, sort of, to me, appears to me, have been, for 40-some years, they had control of the House and the Senate.
Okay. And they had
most of the laws that are on the books, as far as entitlements. And all
well, if you're going to call them socialists, then you got to be referring to social programs that the Democrats passed. So first of all, let's start with let's start with Social Security. Are you against that?
Well, I'm not sure at the time it was passed that I was for it. It's such a ingrained thing now that you just almost have to be for it. And I don't think that the Republicans are against it.
Oh, you don't think so? You don't think they want to bankrupt it and go to a private system?
I think that you guys. This all this stuff, I heard something on the radio the other day, and it may have been you, I'm not sure, it might have been TV. But one of the Democrats saying that President Bush attacks the environment. Well,
Let me ask you something. Do you think
attack the environment? You think for sure the Republicans want to destroy the environment so we're all dead?
I don't think they want to destroy the environment. I think they don't want to do anything to protect it. Do you think for a minute that you're talking about government interference in business and in people's lives? Let's go with the EPA, for example. That's a Democratic thing, and actually got passed, I believe, during a Nixon administration. The Republicans helped on it. But that's a social program, the Environmental Protection Agency. Let me ask you, how many more love canals, how many more... million cubic feet of air would be polluted by the likes of maybe Dow Chemical if we didn't have the government intervention in that. Do you ever fly on an airplane? What would you do without government taking a look at that and keeping our airways safe? The food you eat, government's involved in that. Do you think you'd have safe food to eat if it was left to the people to do it themselves? There has to be intervention by...
There was for thousands of years that people ate food safely without the government. But that's beyond the point.
Beyond the point. You're talking about social issues.
We're doing the same thing that we always do, is it gets to be from the ridiculous.
That's not ridiculous.
Well, certainly it is.
It is not. What about your interstate highway system? You want to do away with that?
Yeah, that was Eisenhower deal. I think it worked pretty good.
Who paid for it?
The taxpayers.
That's right.
Right.
So
you can't say that you can throw government out. I'm not trying to.
So tell me about all the bad ones. Which ones are we going to get rid of? The Democrats are all for.
I'm going to get rid of a lot of them that amount.
What are they now? Just don't give me the right wing crap that
I'm not going to. You can't get a word in edgewise.
Well, you had your chance to get your word in, and I thank you for your call. You see, that's what you get. You get people calling in, and they've heard the right way. You mean you can spot that in the first 30 seconds when you talk to somebody if they're going to repeat what Limbaugh and Hannity and all the right-wing guys have said. That's all they know how to do. And this is a good thing for the right wing, because if they got people... gullible enough to sit there and listen to that all day long, and not call them on it, not point out their lies and so forth that they say, and when they make broad statements about social programs are all bad. Well, they're not all bad. I just gave you a half a dozen examples of ones that are not bad, that the Republicans fought tooth and nail against. Yeah. You'd squeal like a bunch of pigs if they did away with all the social programs, and you know it. We've got Sean in Fort Myers. Sean, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
I'm an Army veteran. I finished my tour in the early 90s, and just to get this out of the way, I don't want you to think I'm a one-sided Republican. I do vote for Bush. I will again. However, I do not like Dick Cheney at all, and I wish he wasn't even around. But I got a comment to you. I have several friends that are still over in Iraq and Afghanistan and so on, and I'm in contact with them weekly but via email, et cetera, sometimes phone. And from what they're telling me, the Democrats are in for a big surprise because they said 90% of the guys over there are going to vote for Bush. And
I'll tell you what, my friend. The Stars and Stripes and all the military publications and everything that I hear from is the exact opposite. It was a slam dunk for Bush the last time because he had them believe in all this malarkey about the war, and now a lot of them have been wised up. I am in contact with families and soldiers every day, and I have not heard any such thing.
Well, I'm talking to guys that are right over there on the ground, and they've even had their own little polls goofing around when they're, you know, had downtime, and they said it ain't even close.
Well,
and the other thing is, now remember, I'm not one-sided.
Tell me why would a soldier vote for George Bush right now when he's tried to cut their battle pay? Why would he do that? Tried to cut veterans' benefits. Tell me one.
Because that's not true. All the guys I know that are in, none of their pay's been cut. Most of them have gotten pay raises in the last year, so it's total BS.
It is not BS. BS.
I know these guys aren't lying to me. They're very honorable.
Well, look it up. It's as plain as it can be that the benefits, pay benefits, and veterans benefits have been cut by this administration.
And the other thing is, I got one more thing. Florida is not even going to be close, and here's why. And I've only heard a couple people say it.
I agree with you that it's not going to be close.
You know why? I'm going to go opposite of you, I'm sure, on this. I'll tell you why right now. All we heard after 2000 was that to get revenge, the first thing they were going to do, Jeb Bush was going to get, they were going to get him out of office when he came up for re-election. Well, let me tell you something. It wasn't even close.
Democrats put up a terribly weak candidate against Jeb Bush. Terribly weak.
Well, he was a military veteran, and he still couldn't get
so
it done.
So what?
Well, you know what? They didn't succeed there, and they're not going to succeed in this election. Bush will take this state by 30,000-plus votes. You can take that to the bank.
Oh, well, you call in after the day after Election Day, and I'm afraid you're going to... Probably, I'm gonna say you're gonna have to eat those words.
I will call, and this is Sergeant First Class Sidock, and I will definitely call you in after the election.
And we'll also
Democrats are gonna be beside themselves, wondering why they lost this election.
I want you to tell me why the military folks would before you go. Tell me why the military folks would be for George W. Bush.
Hey, I'm just going by my.
No, I want you to tell me why military. Give me a reason, a good solid reason why military people would be for George W. Bush.
Because this is the deal. He is a man that does not waver on anything. He takes action when needed. And anybody out there listening to me that'll call in that is former military like me, even if they weren't special forces, any of them will call in and tell you, when you sign on to defend this country and sign on to the military, you accept to do anything you are asked to do, whether it's to free another country, help another country in a time of a terrible natural disaster or a war, defend our shores, anything. When you sign on, that's what you signed on to do. And, you know, it even upsets me when I see these families of veterans and people that have died in the service. You know what? That when you sign on to put your life on the line.
Uh-huh.
That's what you
but
do.
Shouldn't you sign on to put your life on the line with your leader telling the truth as to why he sent you into battle?
Well,
shouldn't that be of premier importance in the whole deal?
We all knew why we were going, and weapons of mass destruction wasn't the only thing. And I know the Democrats aren't going to be satisfied until they find a hydrogen bomb sitting under a rucksack.
Oh, you're not going to start with that deal that they still may find him someday, are you? That he's got him hidden?
No, because they got moved.
Okay. Now tell me, why would he move him?
Well, because he had plenty of notice that he knew we were coming.
Okay, so if you moved him, that would mean you were saving him for later, right? Now, if you're looking across your border at the United States military on the other side, you virtually have a crippled military with no equipment and no great soldiers. And you're looking at the U.S. military, the most formidable force that's ever been on the planet. You're going to put stuff away for a rainy day? Come on. There's not going to be any rainy day. They're going to take you, and that's going to be the end of it.
Well, you know what? We saw in the end that he didn't have the balls to use anything, really, except on his own people.
And why wouldn't he have used them? Tell me why he wouldn't have used these weapons on our soldiers if he wanted to make an impact. Why? Why not?
Well, you know what? When you're in bed with the French and everybody else...
That's got nothing to do with it. If you've got a rat cornered, the rat bites you. That's just the fact.
Right.
You got a rat cornered, he bites you. Why didn't he bite?
Because he was a coward, and all he did was kill his own people.
What's that got to do with anything?
People.
He's got these weapons, you say. Why didn't he use them on our troops?
Because.
And do you really think George Bush and Tony Blair would have sent hundreds of thousands of soldiers into battle in Iraq thinking that they were going to get gassed and with biological and nuke weapons against them? Not a chance.
We knew there was no WMD there. We were prepared for that.
Of course you were prepared, but they weren't there.
You're talking to a Special Forces veteran.
I don't care who I'm talking to. It doesn't matter because they have not found the weapons of mass destruction, and Bush's number one boy that was out hunting for them says they're not there. And no one has provided information otherwise.
Because they were moved.
And answer my question. Why would he move them? To use them later when he's not going to be there later? Use your head, man.
Because if he knew he used them, then he would invoke the wrath of probably another...
The wrath? They killed his boys, and they're going to kill him? What do you mean, wrath?
He was already in hiding at that point.
What? So what? What kind of wrath? How much more wrath can there be? You know, you're not making any sense. You're really not. Hiding weapons for a rainy day? There wasn't going to be any rainy day. Never.
Well, the point is, they probably didn't have some of them capable yet to actually use them.
Oh, so he wasn't ready. Yeah, we're going around in circles. Hey, I thank you for your call. You're welcome to call any old time. You really
are. All right, I'll call you.
We're going to listen to, right now, we're going to listen to Kathy in Cambridge, Mass. We're going to hear about protests going on up there. Welcome, Kathy.
Hi, Guy. I just thought, actually, I'd call in to save you from the moron.
Oh, God. I tell you, when you talk to somebody, I mean, he's a nice enough guy and everything, but, you know, when you try and...
It's like talking to a wall.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
He hit him for a rainy day.
Well, actually, let me just touch on his thing about talking to people of Iraq. I have a nephew there, and he's an enlisted man. And Bush is not very popular among the enlisted men. Maybe this guy knows officers, and certainly, you know, they have a little bit of a cushier time in the military, right? Maybe they're for Mr. Bush, but I can tell you that the grunts, they're not.
Yeah, maybe the fellow just called. Maybe he didn't know that they interviewed at that phony turkey dinner, that they interviewed every one of those soldiers there before they would let him in, and those who were opposed to Mr. Bush didn't get into that dinner.
But anyway, the anti-war protests.
Yes, tell us all about it.
Bad, no coverage, none. I've seen little blurbs on CNN. I'm home today. Today is my house.
Well, now, Kathy, you must be wrong because the media is controlled by the left. you've got to be mistaken.
But, you know, we got to see the whole shebang of, I think, wasn't Bush in Orlando today? We got to see the whole Nuremberg rally.
Oh, yeah. 12,000 of them there today screaming. Yep. Where did they find 12,000 people? Oh, well, I'm not going to say it.
Well, you know, they weren't letting Democrats in. You had to be a registered Republican in order to get tickets because they didn't want any kind of protest, God forbid.
The boy never goes in front of any kind of hostile audience whatsoever. Never.
I know. But I happened to, on Democratic Underground, someone provided a link to one of, like, the New York traffic cameras, and they have, like, live streaming footage, and there's so many people marching. I guess the estimates from what I've heard is about 30 to 40,000. And I'm sure that's a low estimate.
Okay. Well, I hope everybody does keep us posted on that. I know some friends of mine, actually Michael, our former co-host, he's up in Asheville, North Carolina today. He and his lovely bride are up there at a commemoration of the first anniversary of the war and doing some protesting. So, yeah, I hope we at least get coverage of what does happen. It's only fair.
It absolutely. And around the world, I mean, they did show on my local news channel, which, I mean, I know it's still owned by, like, a major media corporation, but they tend to have a little bit more balanced news, like a local New England cable station, did show the protests around the world. And, I mean, when they showed the crowds, it was incredible. Incredible how hated we are around the world, and it made me feel really, really bad.
Well, it makes me feel bad. You know, where I live here is a haven for people from all over the world to come for vacation. We are a vacation destination here, and so we get many, many, many foreign people here. And I got to tell you, I have yet to hear, and I'm not kidding about this, I've yet to hear even one person from away from the shores of these United States who didn't think George Bush was doing the wrong thing and was wrong for our country and wrong for the world.
I was on vacation in Italy over Thanksgiving of 2003, and now, you know, Berlusconi is a Bush ally, and the Italians have troops in Iraq, and there were all kinds of flags with peace on it. I got to speak to Italians, and they are very unhappy with Berlusconi, and they very much dislike him.
Well, Berlusconi's starting to do a little backtrack and now starting to wonder out loud and in the press if maybe they hadn't made a mistake.
Yeah, he wants his political career to be salvaged.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, you know, obviously Aznar got his butt kicked out of office, and it looks like the polls are now waffling on whether, you know, they might pull troops out or not. So, I mean, those are the big three of the, say, first world nations.
Right.
That have troops in there, aside from like the Marshall Islands and Papua and whatever these little nations.
Yeah, 60 nations they like to brag, and I'd be interested to know how many of the nations that the average geography buff can name, because some of them are pretty nondescript.
Yeah.
Hey, Kathy, thanks.
I'm a history major, and I can't name most of them.
Thanks so much for your call,
thanks,
Kathy.
A lot,
we do
guys.
Appreciate
Bye-bye.
It very much. Let's see who's next on the old board here. We got Carol in New Mexico. Carol, welcome, and thanks for waiting.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to ask why Bush isn't pursuing the war on terror. The Germans actually caught with their intelligence and painstaking police work and telephone records and travel records and following the money. They actually caught two Al-Qaeda members, and the Bush administration decided that they couldn't have anybody testify from the administration supposedly secret stuff against them, and one of them was found innocent because the Bush administration wouldn't testify, and the other one was let go because there was not enough to substantiate charges against them. Now, why isn't the Bush administration backing up our traditional ally who has done all this work to find terrorists, and we can't even have anybody testify? Now, one other thing. Why isn't the Bush administration pursuing nuclear proliferation? They were adamant that Saddam was going to use those aluminum tubes, and he had nuclear material and was getting nuclear material in 45 minutes and all that jazz. And in the meantime, the Bush administration outed Valerie Plame, who was working on preventing nuclear proliferation. I mean, doesn't that make you feel safe with all that nuclear material in Russia?
Well, I
just can't be accounted for.
I don't think people anywhere in the world right now feels absolutely safe. And I think, you know, it's my opinion for what it's worth. I think we've gone about this whole thing the wrong way. You know, I never thought an army was the way to do it. I think more of a undercover clandestine operation with, you know, with the SEALs or Green Berets or whatever. Maybe that's the way to do it, but not going in with a huge army. It's like the guy said, it's trying to you got a mosquito on your head and you kill it with a hammer. You know, that just doesn't do the job. Carol, I thank you so much for your call. I do appreciate it very, very much.
Okay, I'll tune in on the web.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
We've got, who do we have? We've got We've got Gordon in San Francisco. Gordon, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Guy. How are you? I discovered you on the Internet.
Speak up if you can, please.
What's that?
Speak up a little if you can. We've got a bad connection.
Okay, is this better?
No.
Okay.
Gordon, can you call us right back?
Sure.
Try to 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, or 304. Give us a call back. We got a line open. That way we'll get a better call in from Gordon. I want to hear what Gordon has to say. We got Ryan in Cape Coral right now. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good afternoon, Guy. You know, I wanted to answer that one caller that said about veterans are voting for Bush. Well, I really care. Soldiers are voting for Bush. That is really hard to believe because anybody that knows the facts knows that Bush cut the VA 40%. He wanted to cut it 58%, but he settled for 40%. The soldiers that are over there now, they're going to need the VA. What are they going to do when they get back? And by the way, it was a solely partisan vote. I think, didn't that VA cuts pass by 3 votes, and they did it in the middle of the night, and it was practically all Republicans who voted to cut the veterans. So anyone that says that they're Republicans or Bush or for the veterans or they stick by veterans or they're the party of strength or honor or whatever they call themselves, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know the facts. I doubt if they care about the facts. They deal in mindless emotionalism.
I've seen no evidence they care about facts whatsoever.
They don't. And furthermore, you know, it was Bush Sr. and Reagan that supported Saddam Hussein. And even Bush, even the Republicans are admitted that this is Saddam Hussein had no ties to terrorism. It was the Bin Ladens. And who was in business with the Bin Ladens? Nobody but President Bush. He was right in business with the Bin Laden family. And it's curious to note that after the 9/11 attacks, Bush made sure that they could all leave and go back to Saudi Arabia, that no one was allowed to, you know, no one was allowed to question them. They were allowed to leave, no questions asked. So, you know, I wish people would know the facts. And then someone else says about the Democrats being socialist or whatever. I mean, you know, the VA, the child labor protection laws, all the programs that have made this country, the quality of life in this country, where would have we been without, thank God the Democrats were in control for 50 years, 40 years, or whatever, because, you know, there would have been no Child Labor Protection Acts, there would have been no Social Security, there would have been no workers' compensation, there wouldn't have been the thing that
Oh, yeah, you know, you stop and think about the things. Rural electrification.
Yes.
You know, we'd be still back in the Stone Age if they'd have been allowed to run this country during that time.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, they talk about welfare. Well, you know, the Republicans are welfare for the rich. I mean, what about the Overseas Development Act? They've totally taken this country, and they relocated all the manufacturing plants overseas. There's virtually nothing made here anymore. And you talk about socialism. They believe in big-time socialism. If you're a millionaire or a billionaire, they got all kinds of things that help them out. But they got, you know, people like the Hennessys and the Limbaughs, and these people don't have a brain to think with. They listen to them. They never challenge them. They believe everything they're told. And, you know, it's what we really need is a much more of a balance in the media, because if these facts were really brought out more, people would have a better understanding of what's really going on.
Well, you know, it's this left-controlled media that they're always talking about. Did you know that the top 12 columnists, the top 12 red columnists in the United States are all conservative? Did you know that the top 27, radio programs, the United States talk radio programs listen to that are political in nature are all conservative? Tell me the right runs the media. That's absurd. Thanks
so
much for your call, Ryan.
I
appreciate it very much.
Okay, goodbye now.
Let's see here. Who do we have next? We've got George in Cape Coral. George, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Guy. On that veteran thing, I'm a veteran.
Can you speak up a little, George?
Yeah, I sure can. I say I'm a veteran. And I'm in contact with several fellows in the Marine Corps that just recently shipped back over to the second tour in Iraq. And I don't know of anybody in that group that has ever considered voting for anybody but George Bush in this election. And as far as their benefits, I've never heard of their benefit being cut to them. Can you give me a bill number in which George Bush cut their benefits by 40%?
I'll try, and I don't know about 40%. I didn't say that.
You agreed with him, so... I'm pretty sure you don't know because it never happened. But if you provide me with a bill number, then I will call up.
No, I don't know anything about
it. If you can give me a bill where George Bush cut VA benefits that 40% or anything close to 40%.
No, I didn't say 40%.
Well, that's what your caller just said.
I can't be responsible for everything my caller said. No, I did not say 40%.
I wasn't responsible for your caller either. On that socialist thing, I've noticed you've been asked about 10 times what the difference is, and you've never given a single difference. Now, some people might assume that's because there is none. Would you like to try again?
I tell you, they never quit, do they? They never quit. I have to wonder if some
no
of you people...
Huh? It's impossible. No, there is no difference. Tell me a difference.
A difference between a socialist... I make no bones about the fact that a just society, any just society, has social programs in it. And if that's socialist, so be it. So be it. You've got to have social programs in any just society, or you will have failure.
Is the military a social program?
No.
Okay, how about the highway department? Is that a social program?
Absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely.
It's infrastructure.
It's for the good of everybody. I'm sorry, George, you just don't know what the hell you're talking about. Very sorry. Who do we have on the line next? We've just got a couple of minutes until the top of the hour. We're going to have... God, I get tired of people being stupid like that. I really do. I mean, that's just plain ignorance. You cannot name me one society in the history of this earth that's been successful for any length of time that has had no social programs. Name me one. Just one. Can't do it. We've got... who do we have? We've got... Diane in Fort Myers. Diane, welcome to the program. We got just a couple of minutes till the top of the hour.
Yeah, Guy. The guy that called in, the Sergeant First Class. I, too, lived military life for 12 years, and I can argue with that guy because we are sworn in to uphold the Constitution and to protect our nation from anything that is foreign or domestic that would harm us. But we are not sworn in to uphold the private industries or their stockholders. We are not sworn to go to war for them. In this case with the war with Iraq, George Bush lied. He lied from the beginning. He knew what he was lying for. He lied for the big industrial war complex to make money and line the wallets of his friends. I don't like knowing that my brothers and sisters in uniform are dying for such a deviant deed. And I take offense to that guy, totally. And not only that, all the lies that go with it. The count, for instance, the body count, not showing them coming back in their coffins. I find that disrespectful. And I think all of America should be allowed to mourn and see them coming back. And not only that, if they die 2 seconds off of the battlefield, they're not considered as dying in action. And I find that at fault with this government right now.
Well,
there's a lot going on here that is personal and upfront and in my face over this. And if him in uniform, how can he go along with this is really bothering me.
Well,
he's a traitor to his brothers and sisters in uniform as far as I'm concerned.
Well, he's... he's had his arm.
We've had people committing suicide over there because they know that they're in something that they have no business being in over there. They know it, and they want to get out of there, and they can't.
I've yet to hear from anybody who's over there right now. I have relatives there. I have many people who correspond with me who have sons and daughters there, and actually some of the soldiers themselves are able to correspond with us through the internet. I've yet to get one, not one, who said this is a great thing.
This president has not been a commander-in-chief that knows anything about going into a war, much less about being in a war. And he has no business sending our guys over there just to line the wallets of his friends.
Well, it was all on the basis of a lie. Hey, Diane, thanks for your call.
Uh-huh. Have a good day.
I think all we wanted was the truth, and I think any soldier's going to go over and put his life on the line is entitled to the truth. I know if it were me, I would certainly want my commander-in-chief telling the truth as for the reason, and then you could go with the clear conscience and the right attitude and all that. Yeah, nobody's going to love going. That's for sure. No one is going to love going, and I don't blame them for that. But they are entitled to the truth from their commander-in-chief, and not a single one of them over there got that. You're listening to the Guy James Show right here on WPTK Power Talk 1200. And we're going to be right back after the news at the top of the hour, so stay tuned.
Come coming up on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
There have been many demonstrations against the U.S. around the world today. I'm Steve Taylor. This one in Cairo. Protests also in Japan, the Philippines, South Korea, India, Australia, and Spain against the war in Iraq and about the absence of weapons of mass destruction there. Said one demonstrator in London,
"This is a big issue for us, and one that's got to be sorted one way or another, preferably with the exit of Mr. Blair and his mates."
Protests are underway in the U.S. too, notably in New York and in San Francisco, where KGO's Mary Ellen Geist reports.
Some of the signs say, "Real patriots ask questions. Show me the weapons. Stop Bush. Bring the troops home now." There's a very large police presence, but it's peaceful so far, and it's expected to be an entire day of anti-war demonstrations.
President Bush faced a large crowd of supporters today as he marked the first anniversary of the war with a campaign speech in Orlando.
"The man who sits in the Oval Office will set the course of the war on terror and the direction of our economy. The security and prosperity of America are at stake."
On a more political level, the president presented the Republican view of the Kerry record.
"Senator Kerry voted for the Patriot Act, for NAFTA, for the No Child Left Behind Act, and for the use of force in Iraq. Now he opposes the Patriot Act, NAFTA, the No Child Left Behind Act, and the liberation of Iraq."
John Kerry wasn't making speeches today, but he was making noise. The senator was skiing in Idaho's Sun Valley. One photographer, wired for sound, managed to stay with him long enough to make this recording. Who gets that big reward in the Washington area sniper case? Authorities in Maryland have decided to split it between a man who tipped the FBI about John Muhammad and a man who reported seeing the sniper's car at a rest stop. This is ABC News.
"All right, people, we need new computers, and they're pretty expensive, so we're cutting back. If you have to travel overnight, try sleeping in a park. Think of it as a business adventure. Next, office supplies. Instead of using tape or glue, see if anyone's chewing gum. And yes, we're cutting toilet paper."
Looking for an easier way to afford the latest technology?
"Sir, why aren't we just getting a Dell?"
At DellRadio.com, you'll find great deals on PCs powered by highly reliable Intel processors. Get everything from notebooks and servers to printers and PDAs to complement your PC purchase. All your technology needs, all in one place.
Water, however, will still be available for a nominal fee.
Right now at DellRadio.com, you can get a Dell Dimension desktop with an Intel Pentium 4 processor at 2.66 GHz for just $449 plus tax. Monitor not included. Order select systems today and get double the memory for free. DellRadio.com. Just one more thing that's easy as Dell.
Coming up Monday, only on Wink News at 6. She was tricked into giving up her life savings. Now, 3 years later, the man responsible has been released from prison, but she's still left with an empty bank account.
"I thought I'd be taken care of by the state of Florida."
But that's not the case. Wink News iTeam consumer investigator Chris Safadi shows you who's responsible for making sure she gets her nearly $200,000 back. Monday, only on Wink News at 6. Southwest Florida's news leader.
The first thing you do, the first chance you get, make the first thing you watch. Wink News This Morning. Live on scene reports, real-time traffic, weather every 8 minutes, and the best morning news team around. Patrick Comer, Stacey Adams, Marisa Holmes. Wink News This Morning. First, for you.
As Americans once again plan their overseas vacations, here are some tips. Get to the airport well in advance and do not overpack. If visiting Iceland, for example, the closest European country, pack as if going to New England and emphasize layered clothing. The seafood is ocean fresh, caught daily in the cold waters of the North Atlantic. Game and lamb are raised in the time-honored organic way and are incredibly delicious. Reykjavik is a charming and safe city to walk with amazingly clean air and beautiful historic buildings and churches. One of the great appeals of Iceland is that unspoiled nature is nearby, abundant, and breathtaking. Exploring a glacier by snow scooter, snowmobile, or super jeep is an unparalleled experience. pure, natural, unspoiled, the way life should be. Come see for yourself, Iceland naturally. For free information, check out www.icelandnaturally.com.
Which tree-clad America's Revolutionary War sailing ship hold Ironsides and can live for more than 100 years? Go to the National Arbor Day Foundation website, arborday.org, for whatever you need to know about trees. See which oaks or other trees from America's abundant choices are right for planting where you live. That website again is arborday.org.
Plant a tree today for all the world to share.
Environmental Defense presents Let's Make a Difference, where we test one lucky contestant's level of environmental knowledge. Ready, Kevin?
Ready.
When buying seafood, can you tell which are caught in an environmentally friendly way?
Definitely.
Are you lying?
Absolutely.
Time's up. And Kevin, I'd say you're more than capable of making a positive difference in the environment.
I am?
That's right. Simply visit GetGreen.com to learn how choosing seafood that's plentiful or caught in an environmentally friendly way can help keep our oceans healthy and full of fish. That's GetGreen.com. This has been an Ad Council and Environmental Defense production.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
888-602-7500-7501-0203-04. And locally here, you're welcome to call us at 479-5540. Love to hear from you. And to the Canadians, that's a 239 area number hit you have to call. Hey, a little unfinished business. I hate it when people call in and act like you're a dope and don't know what you're talking about. We always know what we're talking about on this program. Talking about Mr. Bush's massive cuts to the military. Here's what he's proposing. This isn't something that the Democrats drew up. This is Mr. Bush's proposed budget, okay? This is what Mr. Bush has put forward. Massive cuts to military family housing. Bush's 2004 budget proposes $1.5 billion in cuts to military family housing. Last year, the government spent $10.7 billion on these priorities, while this year, the Bush budget and GOP bill proposes just under $9.2 billion. This cut affects military housing, barracks, child care centers. House Democrats offered an amendment, but they're not going to have a chance to get it through in order to restore the cutbacks. Massive cuts to schools for military kids. Bush's 2004 budget proposes to cut $200 million out of schools for military kids, reducing pay to soldiers in harm's way, ignoring tax relief for soldiers, raising prescription drug prices is another thing they're going to have to do. All of this proposed budget by George W. Bush and his administration has been called disgraceful, a disgrace and a sham by the Veterans of Foreign Wars, by the VFW. Need I say more? Going back to the forums right now, we thank Gordon for being so patient and calling back. Gordon, welcome to the program.
Hey, Guy, how are you?
Glad to have you with us.
It's fun to listen to the ditto heads that called in.
Oh, yeah. Can you speak up any? We still, it's like we're on a tin can here today.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, how about that?
That's better.
Okay, I know we're not supposed to bring up the French because they're our enemies.
Yeah.
No, and
those
we're
dirty French.
Yeah, the dirty SOBs, and we're eating freedom fries now. But the did you hear the French foreign minister, Developin? I can't pronounce French names, but he recently said that because of the war in Iraq, we have entered into a more unstable and dangerous world, and you know, which requires mobilization of the entire international community now. And he also said that terrorism was unknown in Iraq before the war, and now it's the world's principal source of world terrorism. disagree with that. I think that this war has made it easier for these terrorists to recruit new members. What do you think?
Oh, there's no question about it. Their recruitment from sources I have, and, you know, they're not any clandestine sources, anybody can find them, are saying they've never had such a good time recruiting new members in Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations. It has fueled the fire. There's no question about it. You know, it's not to say we should have capitulated to them and just walked away and forgotten about it, but we've gone about this. We've managed to somehow distance the entire rest of the world from us and alienate everybody, literally everybody from around the world in the way that we've done this. And that's just not that's not the way Americans do things.
Right. Listen, Guy, you know, I'm sick of a lot of Democrats and liberals, many of whom are my friends, who all they do is complain. We, the people, are very powerful, and we have to do something. Do something, anything. Volunteer at your precinct. Give money to the DNC or other organizations, or give yourself a goal to register just 20 new Democrats between now and November.
Exactly.
You know, this is going to be a close election, and we have to work hard to get this reckless, dangerous liar out of our White House. It's our White House.
Well,
thank you for taking my call.
Well said, Gordon. I appreciate your call very, very much. We've got Amanda in Georgia. Amanda, welcome to the program. Are you there, Amanda? Okay. We're back to Amanda.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Okay.
Got a little bit of a cold today.
We're having a hard time picking people up on the phone today for some reason.
I know, I hear that. I'll speak up real loud.
Okay.
The guy who called in who wanted to have a house resolution bill?
Yeah.
I got one for you.
He would be arguing with the wrong person if he started in on you with this.
House Resolution Bill 5250 introduced into Congress by Tom Daschle for the Veterans and Military Fairness
Act. And Tom Daschle would be?
Well, he's a Democrat, but he ordered the Fairness Act.
Yes.
Yes, he's the House, well, he used to be the Majority Leader, now he's in the minority. And so House Resolution Bill 5250 was voted down by the Republicans, which was Veterans Health Care Funding Guarantee Act. Okay, it also had an SR-50 on it. So as part of its 2004 budget, it went into committee, and it never came out. 2004 budget submission, we had a $250 increase in the copayments for outpatient primary care from 15 to 20, and pharmacy copays from 7 to 15 for Category 7 and 8 veterans, something we have never, ever had categorizing veterans. And the day we invaded Iraq, $28 billion cut from the VA military. Now, he wants to look up House resolution bills. I got one for him, okay? H.R. 5250. Let him look it up and then look up the budget.
Well, you know, I knew Amanda would know that, but Amanda is heavily involved in Amanda probably knows as much about veteran benefit as anybody on the planet, probably as much as any of the actuaries in Washington that do the figures. Amanda is heavily involved in veterans affairs, having a disabled veteran as her husband, and so she's formed a veterans organization. She knows the skinny, believe me.
Well, these Category 7 and 8 veterans, for those who have incomes above $24,644 threshold and above the HUD, Housing and Urban Development, means that, you know, you just don't get any help if you make above that. Here they talk about capitalism, but they want to hold you down below the poverty level, and then they won't see the veteran. Uh-uh, that won't fly.
Yeah.
No. That guy didn't know what he was talking about. 2004, not only was it denied by the VFW, American Legion wasn't too happy about it either. And we've only got like 30 members, but I'm going to tell you what, I spend every day. We just buried a veteran up here this week. They wouldn't take him in the VA. I think I mentioned it last week. They wouldn't take him into the VA. He called the house and said, can you arrange for somebody to take me somewhere I'm homeless? By the time my people got there, he was dead. Okay, and I'm kind of aggravated about all this, what they do for veterans. They don't do jack.
Well, you're...
And I'm really angry about it.
Exactly.
And I'll tell you something else.
You're entitled to be angry about it. We all should be angry about it when we see Bush with these arm-around soldiers up on the podium with these other hand in their back pocket.
I have still been trying to zoom in to see if he had a CIB on. I knew he had the Screaming Eagle, but he's going to make a lot of veterans mad if he had a combat infantry badge on. I mean, the guy couldn't handle Alabama. You going to tell me he's going to wear a Screaming Eagle? Yeah. My husband, who was with the 101st,
Yeah.
By the way, I got some good news. You remember the lady who called in last week, Mrs. Brown?
Yes.
I made a lot of phone calls on her behalf, and so did some other people from Democratic Underground. And she actually went to Seattle and had an interview, and the BBC is going to be interviewing her.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, they need to cover that case.
But when I was going to call in today, but when that guy called in, I come up out of the bed.
Well, I knew you would. Amanda, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you, guys.
Right on the money. You ask and ye shall receive. If you want any factual information, the folks in Democratic Underground always there to provide it. We've got Julio in Fort Myers. Julio, welcome to the program, and thanks for waiting.
Hey, what's going on, guy?
Great.
Hey, man, I wanted to call about these people who keep with this socialist and liberal connection. Well, I want to read a couple of quotes to these right-wingers who I know are still listening, because that's why they called. They're reaching out for help. So let's help them out. Okay, this is the quote. I shall give a propagandist reason for starting the war, never mind if it is plausible or not. The victor will not be asked afterwards whether he told the truth. In starting and waging a war, it is not right that matters, but victory. And no, that wasn't George W. Bush who said that was Adolf Hitler. And then the second quote I'd like to read him is, why, of course, the people don't want war. Why should some poor slob on a farm want to risk his life in a war when the best that he can get out of it is to come back to his farm in one piece? Naturally, the common people don't want war, neither in Russia nor in England nor in Germany. That is understood. But after all, it is the leaders of the country who determine the policy, and it is always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it is a democracy or a fascist dictatorship or a parliament or a communist dictatorship. Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked, and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same way in any country. And again, no, that wasn't George W. Bush. That was Herman Goering. And so by saying that, I'd say, well, what's the difference between the Nazi fascists and our current administration? And, you know, they're using the same kind of tactics. And then what you were talking about earlier about Democrats being hostile and angry and everything, Ann Coulter said this. This is no time to be precious about locating the exact individuals directly involved in this particular terrorist attack. And she's talking about September 11th. We should invade their countries, kill their leaders, and convert them to Christianity. We weren't punctilious about locating and punishing only Hitler and his top officers. We carpet bombed German cities. We killed civilians. That's war, and this is war. And she also said this in front of a conservative political action committee, which Dick Cheney is a member of. We need to execute people like John Walker. That was a young man who was fighting in Afghanistan who was an American, in order to physically intimidate liberals by making them realize that they can be killed too. Otherwise, they will turn out to be outright traitors. And I mean, and I really wanted to read the first two quotes for the gentleman who's in the special forces in the army. That you need to open up your eyes, and you can't be a blind follower. Even if you're in the military, if someone's putting your life on the line, you have the right to know every single detail. And if they tell you, well, we're not going to tell you this, or if they tell you something else and it turns out to be the total opposite of what they were talking, I mean, he was making an argument for exactly what you were talking about, which is he was saying that, well, he's weak and he's a loser. He's got no balls. He's not going to attack us. And why the hell did we invade them if he has no balls and he's not going to do anything? So, I mean, basically he just made his own argument, but still, you know, what's the last time? Oh, well, Bush is my man and all my friends support him. And, you know, and there you go. That's where our country is right now, and after reading those two things that Hitler and Goering wrote in, I mean, that's what's going on in this country, and it's just really, really shocking that, you know, not enough people realize what's going on.
It's our duty to put a stop to it, Julio. Thanks for your call.
All right, man, take it easy.
Appreciate it very, very much. You know, you have callers call in like the guy that called in and asked the difference between a socialist and a Democrat. You know, the stupidity just shines through on something like that. But, you know, we've had like about 10 years worth of just plain lies from the conservative now over just that. For example, you know, they see the minimum wage as a socialist thing. You know, and they say if you raise the minimum wage, we'll ruin the economy. We've raised it several times. Did we ruin the economy? And they say, talk about the EPA. If you have environmental protection, it's going to hurt the economy. If you allow people who've been wrong to have redress in court, it's going to ruin the economy. If we have accessible health care for everybody, you'll hurt the economy. If we build better schools, you'll hurt the economy. It's all you ever hear them. You know, Mr. Right-Wing Republican, the thing is, we don't raise our kids in an economy. We raise them in a society. Society. Get it? We all live in a society. But you think we can all get by absolutely on our own without any social programs and government protection? That's what you think. And that's the height of absolute stupidity. And by the way, who are these people to tell us anything about how to grow an economy? What do they know about an economy? Who do you think knows more about how to grow a strong economy, Bill Clinton and Robert Rubin, or George Bush and Paul O'Neill and Larry Lindsey? Who do you think knows how to manage an economy? Who knows how to promote growth and raise income? We don't have to listen to that ridiculous pablum coming from the Bush White House. They don't know jack about creating a good economy, and they've proven it over and over and over again. We were right, and they were wrong, and they've been shamed, and they're trying everything into book to avoid personal responsibility. How often do you hear that from them? You know, the responsibility for what they've done. Oh, how they love to talk about personal responsibility. Yes, indeed. It's all about responsibility until you say, let's hold these administration people responsible for this weak economy. Let's hold these high administration officials responsible for their intentional deception to get us into a war in Iraq. Let's hold them personally responsible for outing the CIA operative Valerie Plame. Let's hold them personally responsible for this monstrous budget deficit that's dragging us down. Let's hold them personally responsible for the millions of jobs lost. Let's hold them personally responsible for the Medicare cost cover-up that they're trying right now. Let's hold them personally responsible for what they have done to the American people and to the citizens of the world right now. No, to them, personal responsibility is a one-way street down. But if you want to hold one of them responsible for something, they squeal like a bunch of pigs. Whatever happened to Robert F. Kennedy's declaration of, and I quote, to those who much is given, much is expected. These people say to those who much is given, they ought to take more. That's the difference between a Democrat and a Republican. That's the big difference right there. Makes me sick when idiots call in and ask questions and don't have anything to back them up except rhetoric they've heard on right-wing talk shows and never bothered to go and check out the absolute facts. Never bothered. Well, we're going to go to, my goodness, all the way out to Nebraska. Kelly in Nebraska. Kelly, thanks for waiting.
Hey, how's it going?
Glad to have you with us.
Like your show.
Thanks.
You know those guys that call in and compare Democratic Party to socialism?
Mm-hmm.
I'd really like to hear their comparison and contrast, you know.
They don't have
the differences
one.
Or the similarities.
They you noticed we've had two people call in and try that today, and neither one of them could do just what you said.
Well, it'd just be really a hoot to hear to try to put that together, because you know it'd just be really funny because obviously they voted for Bush.
Well, really, Kelly, it's not a fair fight.
Yeah, that's true. I don't see how you keep your calm with them as much as you do.
Well, we're sitting here in a radio station far away from everybody, and we have to try and keep our cool anyway. I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah. We've got padded walls in here, too, I'm reminded, so we can bounce off of them pretty well.
I just don't see how they could vote for a murderous pig like Bush. It's so obvious.
Well, it's the deception. It's just the deception. And, you know, we had someone last week call in, and you know, I don't think everybody has to serve in the military. We all as citizens do one thing or another to serve the country in what way we can. And not everybody has served in the military. But these hawks like this whole administration that sent our boys and girls over into Iraq,
yeah.
Someone last week called them comfortable cowards.
Yeah.
And I think that just fits very well.
Well, I think they're murderers, really.
Well, we've gotten a lot of youngsters killed over there, and
yeah.
There just wasn't any good reason for it at all.
Let alone all the Iraqis that's been killed.
Yeah.
I mean, God, think about it. I mean, if you just sit there and think about all of it, that's hideous.
Yes, it is.
I mean, yeah.
They estimate upwards of 8,000 Iraqis have been killed since this started.
I don't see how anybody can be all, you know, up for that, like a football game or something.
Well,
I get it.
You know, Kelly, you know, put yourself in this mode. Sit down and forget about anybody else and think about nothing but yourself, yourself and your welfare and your bank account. Think about nothing but that. And then you can figure out where they're coming from. Kelly, I thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
I do appreciate it very, very much.
Bye.
We've got Ryan in Wisconsin. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Guy. Good to hear the show today.
Glad to have you with us. Speak up if you can.
Okay, will do. I was just wondering if you thought which one was a bigger lie, the lie about Iraq or the lie about the middle-class tax cuts? Because let me just tell you, I make about $42,000 a year. Okay, my tax cut, and I'm a single guy with no children, my tax cut came out to be 0.13%, which equates to about $45.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to go out right now and stimulate the economy with that $45.
Absolutely. Now,
what I would challenge all of our Republican friends on the other side to do is take a good hard look at last year's tax return compared to this year's tax return, and tell me and tell the rest of the Democrats and all their friends how much of that, what does Bush say, an average would be $1,500 per person? Is that
yeah.
what he said the average tax cut would be?
Well, he's done that. He's done the old trick like we've said a couple of times on this program. Let's assume for a minute you're in a bar, and there's nine people in the bar, and all of a sudden Bill Gates walks in. That makes the average net worth of everybody in that bar about $6 billion.
Right.
That's what they've done with this tax cut thing. That's how they've presented it.
Right. I think that's almost an even bigger lie than Iraq because it bankrupted the Treasury. And I'm actually an accountant for the Department of Housing and Urban Development. And this year in the 2005 budget proposal, they're slashing $1.6 billion, which is estimated to displace 150,000 to 250,000 families. Now, the people that rely on housing assistance, these are people that, for the most part, are working. They're the working poor, the elderly, and the disabled. Now, you can't tell me that giving tax cuts to the rich, the richest Americans, which turns out to be about, what, 2 to 5% of people who are actually going to benefit from these tax cuts, while at the same time saying, we don't care about the poor, we don't care if you have an affordable, safe place to live, whether you're old, whether you're disabled, or just plain poor, we don't care about you.
We don't give a damn because we don't care about any social issues. We care about me.
Yeah.
Me.
It disgusts me, and I have Republican friends who say that the Democrats, oh, you're just looking for a handout, just looking for a handout. Well, I think everybody in America should be proud to give to people who can't help themselves, and not just a handout for nothing in exchange, but you know, a helping hand is more like the proper way to phrase that. But I'd also like to say before I go, I'm donating to your website today to keep you on the air, and I actually found your website through Randy Rhodes. Are you familiar with
him? Oh yes.
And you two are the best voices for the Democratic Party that I've heard on the radio, and I was wondering about your feelings about the new, Air America radio network?
Well, I hope it's very, very successful. I hope it's very successful. We need to level the playing field, and I hope everybody that's been chosen for that, and Randy has been chosen for that, I hope she's ultra-successful, as she has always been over where she's at on the west east coast of Florida. Hey, thanks so much for your call, Ryan. I do appreciate it very much.
Okay.
We're going to go to Juan in Immokalee. Juan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Guy. I'm amazed how many pinhead Republicans are listening to your show. you know, and I say pinhead, not diddlehead, because you know I think that they're you know suffering from spoon-fed information that they cannot explain. But you know, I think that right-wing radio depends for their listening. Like you mentioned, they have the 17th most popular station, or is because of they tell jokes and build up a hate. Those two areas are emotional, hate and comedy. And I think people listen because of that, because they could not be listening and getting interesting information. They're still voting. Last election, half a million more Americans voted for Democrats than for the Republicans. I think, you know, when they say things like F and Kerry and Bob Daschle and swinging Dick Gephardt, Bart and Lurch and my boy Lollipop, Barney Frank, you know. I mean, those things are funny, you know, and I listen, you know, I listen to Rush, but for the comedy, and just, but he, you know, he is very shallow as to how he describes, you know, things. I think that with Democrats, you know, you have the facts, and people of Democrats know the facts in general, I think, more than the Republicans. And it's not as entertaining, but as a Republican, you know, to listen. But I think the Democrats in general know the facts much better. And I think that most of the people that listen to the Republicans there more is because of the entertainment, not for factual information.
Well, I think you'd be in serious trouble, and of course, a lot of people are. If they're going to depend on right wing radio for their facts and their news, they're going to come up sorely lacking. They really are. Juan, yeah, go ahead.
That's all I really wanted to say is that I think that if Democrats can find a way, you know, to put in some, you know, still leave the fact there, because that's essential and that benefits all Americans. You know, and if some of those people that are coming up, you know, with a news stations that maybe, you know, to have an entertaining entertainment mixed with it, I think that, that we get a lot of people that that will have attract them and have a lot of good information, because, you know, we can't go wrong with the fact, you know.
That's right.
And thank you.
Thank you very much, Juan. You know, we depend on our right-wing callers on here to entertain us. They do a pretty doggone good job of it, too, I got to tell you. Let's see. Who do we have here right now? We've got Bill in Fort Myers. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, guy. You're smoking today.
Thanks to have you with us.
I missed you. Didn't have the conservative love affair last week. I hope you didn't run out of material.
Haven't run out of material, just haven't found the time to do it.
I hope they're not torturing you.
We'll probably resume that next week.
Well, I would just like to make the point that if you want to know what the Republicans think of the veterans, except for photo ops, just think of the number they did on Max Cleland when the guy has three limbs shot off for this country, and the Republicans do a smear job on him and question his patriotism, and then you know what the real Republicans about what they think about veterans and how they're going to be there for us. They're not going to be there.
To say nothing of what they did to John McCain.
Same thing with McCain.
For those of you that don't know how they tried to disparage, you know, they tried to disparage John McCain in many ways in South Carolina, but they passed it around that John McCain, having been a prisoner of war, was not mentally stable enough to be president of the United States. They actually did that. These people running the Bush campaign and running the Bush machine will stop at nothing.
Right-wing Christians out there, I don't care about your religion. You can have any religion you want, but Pat Robertson was right at the spearhead to get to the Bible Belt people to destroy John McCain and to attack his wife and his children in the name of politics. That's what we're up against.
Well, it is, and you know, I for one, I'll go on record. I think Pat Robertson is a charlatan of the highest order. He's got a huge bank account, many businesses. He will play the tune that the administration wants to hear for his own glory.
And I shouldn't even bring this up. You've heard the old canard that Hillary Clinton, that her mortgage is being paid for by the Secret Service.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it came up on the Alan Keyes show. Alan Combs.
Oh.
And Alan, the guy was so insistent. Alan said, I do not believe that, but if you'll give me the information and the dates and the salaries of the people involved, I will check it out. Maybe not tonight, but I will check it out. If you'll stay on hold, I'll give you to my producer. And the gentleman wouldn't do it. You know why? He didn't have any information, but he heard it on right-wing radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how it always goes. You know, I wish to God I could have a civil conversation with some people on the right who we could sit down and actually debate in a civil manner with facts and figures and air out our differences. And we don't have to come to an agreement.
No.
It just would be nice to air out our differences and understand each other.
I agree.
It really would.
One last thing. I would like for this. I hope that the Democrats will use this for an issue that when our reservists are really hurting when they go into the military and they're not getting their normal paycheck and they're out there for 12 months or more, if their company would make up the difference to pay that family the difference of what that person was making, and then at the end of the year, that particular company could take it off their income tax. Everybody would share the pain. I think that would be a terrific democratic issue for us to use, and I think it would be fair to our people over there that are, by the way, protecting us.
You know what, Bill? I could be all wet on this, but something tells me I seem to remember that maybe Sears is doing that.
Oh, yes. A lot of companies do it, and if you happen to work for the city or the state in Florida, they do it. But why do some people do it and others
yeah.
don't have to do
it? Yeah, well, I'm sure it's a, yeah, absolutely.
And one last thing about the difference between we liberal Democrats and the communists. You know, Rush Limbaugh says, if you care about the environment, you're against free enterprise and you're a communist. You know, I've never been to China. That's a communist country. I bet that's like going to Yellowstone National Park because, you know, all those liberal communists up there, you know they're taking care of that environment.
Oh, sure they are. Sure they are.
If you don't believe it, look at the latest National Geographic and see what a sewer that's.
Yeah, just like it is down on the American-Mexican border, how they're taking such good care of the environment on the other side of the border.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for your call. We're going to someone we know quite well, Mike in Asheville.
Hey, guy.
Hey, welcome to the program. Mike, how you doing? How's things going up there in beautiful Asheville?
There's about 500 to 750 people marching along the street here. It's really amazing. It's a beautiful day, and people out here saying how much they don't approve of imperialistic wars by their own country. So.
A beautiful day in a beautiful city, Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, it really is. Hey, a couple comments about a couple of the other callers. For one, I wouldn't call China a communist country. I'd call it state capitalism, but that's just me. It's a dictatorial state capitalist system, but, you know, hey, that's semantics perhaps. Another thing with the HUD issues, it's true that a lot of the budget numbers look the same when you look at the unified budgets, but the fact of the matter is they're cutting a lot of the Section 8 housing. And you're looking at somewhere between, the person said, between 80 to 150,000 people will lose basically what they use to pay their rent. And, you know, Bush, if he had his way, it'd probably be a million,
yeah.
You know. And these people are not, they don't care about other people. They only care about the almighty dollar. And, and there's a lot of people here right now that don't agree with that. So it's good to be around these people.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Actually, that's about all I got. Actually, I've got a person here from Democratic Underground that I ran into.
Oh, really?
And he'd like to make a comment. This would be his first time calling in.
All right.
And he just, I guess, asked him, I don't know, why he's here. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, you've had some great callers today. While I was on hold, man, they're kicking butt.
That's
so,
great.
All right. I'll talk to you later. And here's another protester.
Thanks,
here
Mike.
You go. Thanks.
Hello, guy.
Welcome to the program.
Hi, it's good to be on. Well, we're here at a beautiful peace demonstration in Asheville, North Carolina. I live here, and we have a great activist community here. February 15th, we had about 2,100 people, and today maybe 600-700, I'm not sure. But there is a great anti-war community here, and we aren't that well accepted by the powers that be. Yesterday there were some problems with the police when the march from the campus of UNC spilled onto the street from the sidewalk, and some people were actually tasered.
Oh,
and
my.
When the war started in that week, during that week, we had 44 arrests. So if we have our problems with the powers that be here, I guess you would say. But it's a great community, and we had a great turnout today.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. And thanks, and you call us back any old time. I appreciate your call.
Okay. Have a good day.
We will. We've got, who do we have? Who's next? We've got Doris in Fort Myers. Doris, welcome to the program, and thank you for waiting.
Yes, Guy. Love your informative and interesting show today.
Thank you.
I just had to call in to say that I'm really glad I'm not a Republican based on what I heard from the right wing on your show. And to say that their knowledge of the facts was pretty mind-boggling. And the callers you had comparing liberals or Democrats to socialists or communists just proves that to me.
Well, they don't know. I mean, they don't know. They go off half-cocked because they've heard Limbaugh or Hannity and one of those people say it, and that's, you know, that's what they go with.
No free thinking there.
No.
far as the social programs that, by the way, benefit the Republicans as well, thank goodness we have them because they help make the environment and food cleaner and our lives longer. And regarding the war, for one thing, our gas prices would, I thought, were going to decrease if we went to war. Well, look where they are, and steadily getting higher.
Yeah, yeah. And that's going to turn out to be a severe problem for an economy that's struggling to recover.
And I'd like to end by saying that the word conservative should rightfully belong to the Democrats.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm fairly disgusted with the out-of-control spending by this administration.
You know, these people got to be called red ink Republicans. I mean, that's they're borrowing every dime they can from now, from our kids' future and our grandchildren's future, and saying, hey, don't worry about it.
They haven't seen an expense they don't love.
That's the fact. That's how it's been going so far.
Thank you, Guy, for the interesting show.
Thank you for calling in. We do appreciate it. We've got, let's see, let's go to Phil in Minneapolis. Phil?
Hey.
Thank you for calling, Phil.
Nice talking to you, Guy. I kind of wanted to start it off with a little story that happened to me this weekend between me and my dad. He's one of the guys that is sending out a bunch of emails to all the Republicans to...
Speak up a little if you can, Phil.
He's sending out a bunch of emails to support Bush and all this stuff, and he sent me one, and I'm liberal, and he knows it, and he was just doing it to kind of get me riled up, so I sent him a bunch of stuff. And then so I went and saw him this weekend, and he asked me if I got all his emails, and I was like, oh, no, I haven't had internet. And he goes, oh, yeah, I sent you a bunch of right-wing stuff to set you straight. And I was like, oh, what, did you send me a bunch of stuff from Newsmax? He's like, oh, no, I sent you stuff from Hannity and Limbaugh. And
oh, that makes it legitimate.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. I was like, oh, extreme right is much more is more correct than extreme left. And or something, it went off from there. The neighbors come in, he's like, oh, yeah, this is my son Phil, him and his liberal act over there. And it was more like, in his liberal act over there.
Oh, they try and make that a dirty word, don't they, Phil?
Yeah, trying to make it dirty. I'm like, sure. What are you doing? I'm not embarrassed to say that.
Nope, me either.
And then I was like, well, I'm not saying I don't like all Republicans. He's like, oh yeah, whatever. I'm like, oh, I don't hate all Republicans.
I don't either. But as I've said over and over and over again, Phil, these people running this administration are not. They are not your garden variety Republicans. They just are not. Got to move on, Phil. I've got a board full of people here waiting to get in the program, and I thank you very much for your call. We've got Martha in Bonita. Martha, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, Guy. What great callers. Hey, Julio and Amokley. Right on, man. I wanted to comment about a few things. You know, there's a story about the Good Samaritan in the Bible, in the Good Book, you know, that these people are using for political purposes. But, you know, a man gets robbed and left for dead. And along walks a priest, leaves him there, passes him by. Along walks basically somebody who's kind of like a Republican, walks by, a Levite. And then a Samaritan comes by and he has compassion, picks him up, takes him home, cleans him up, you know, oils his wounds, goes to an innkeeper and said, hey, can you take care of this guy? And they get, you know, sure, okay, you know. Here's a stranger. Now, how many Republicans are going to be taking care of strangers in the name of socialism? You know, that's what they call taking care of one another. And that's what I learned when I was a kid from my grandma. You do that because everyone's a brother and sister of yours.
Not to hear the other side. Take care of yourself, damn it.
Well, that's not a very Christian attitude, folks, so get with it. And these folks that like to call up and say, what's the difference between a Democrat and a socialist? A socialist, I mean, if they have any brains and studied anything, would know that that means that you're vesting the interest of the means of production in the government. It's called state, you know, capitalism.
Right.
Well, you know, maybe these Republicans are more socialist than we are.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, what just happened with that Medicare bill? I mean, they just funded the insurance companies and they just funded the drug companies and basically defunded, or will be defunding in 2006, a bunch of our grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads for this, you know, this horrific Medicare bill.
That horrific Medicare bill that, by the way, as everybody knows by now, is under a real dark cloud for several reasons.
Bribery, I think, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, man, I heard arms breaking when I was watching that.
Oh, yeah.
And something else, a friend of ours called and said, well, my husband's a veteran, by the way. I want to thank the folks for serving and, you know, being honorable to our country. I just sat down at Naples Beach for 3 hours, keeping vigil next to a cross of a friend of mine who was killed in Iraq. Jeffrey Warsaw, he died earlier this year. Well, not this year, last year. I'm sorry, 2003. Carrying a flag of Florida up a hill, as a matter of fact, in Iraq. 22-year-old young activist Democrat. You know, the Republicans don't have a hold on what your political party is when you're in the military. That's yours to keep. And anyhow, 3 hours, there were 565 crosses on Naples Beach today down by the pier, and signs about, you know, what the casualties are, what the wounded are, how many civilians have been killed in Iraq.
That whole thing, by the way, was organized by Veterans for Peace and Military Families Speak Out, and our good friends, the Dwyers down in Naples, with the Pax Christi organization.
Yeah, actually, they're holding a demonstration right now down by the government center from 3 to 6, so
yes.
There'll be people out there. But today, it was quite interesting because, you know, there were people from all over the country walking by having their sun-filled vacation down here in Florida, thinking that they could get away from the troubles of the world. And here they are in one of the most beautiful beaches in the world, you know, with their suntan oil and their bikinis and whatever, being confronted by 565 crosses with the names of young men and women, you know, 19 years old, 22 years old, and then there's the National Guard guys, you know, 42 years old, probably have three kids at home.
Sure.
You know, so I did that today, and I just sat by Jeffrey's cross and just thought about him and what he'd want, you know, us to be doing, because he was a very active young Democrat out of Alachua, Florida.
My, oh my.
And anyhow, that, and then, you know, our friend who wanted to know about, you know, where are they cutting these veterans' benefits, I have a letter here from the National Commander, Edward R. Heath Sr., of the Disabled American Veterans, who uses some pretty strong language in a letter to the Honorable J. Dennis Hastert, Speaker of the House of Representatives of our Congress. And he says, has Congress no shame? Is there no honor left in the hallowed halls of our government that you choose to dishonor the sacrifices of our nation's heroes and rob our programs to pay for tax cuts to the wealthy? You will be reducing benefits and services for disabled veterans at a time when thousands of our service members are in harm's way fighting terrorists around the world, and thousands more of our sons and daughters are preparing for war against Iraq. Now, this was written March 17, 2003, 2 days before Mr. Bush, I am reluctant to call him president, but I guess he's filling that office, barely. President Bush declared war, or did he declare war? Started war,
yes,
with Iraq. That these people in our Congress are considering a tax cut of $15 billion during the next 10 years. I mean, not a tax cut, God forbid, to cut veterans programs by more than $15 billion during the next 10 years.
Certainly.
So for our young men and women who are considering, my nephew was in the ROTC. He's quit. He says, I'm going to be a Democrat. You know, he's 17 years old. He'll be voting next year. He's just not for it. He was very hyped on being in the military, but he says, you know, what's happening right now, that he wants to serve his country, but he's going to do it another way.
Well, there are many ways to serve a country. Martha.
Thanks.
Thanks for your call.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Great to hear from Martha. We've got Mike in Fort Myers. Mike, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Guy. You know, I'm sure you, like everyone else, has been hearing all these reports recently about the Food and Drug Administration is recommending reducing or outright almost removing tuna and some of the more healthy varieties of fish from the diet of young children. out or tying this to what the Bush administration's contribution is to this. In fact, they have they've gutted the energy bill and redefined it, and allowing power companies to dump more mercury into the atmosphere, which is exacerbating this problem. And it just makes my blood boil to think that they just pass over this issue and take such a healthy item out of our diet, and the Bush administration is not getting this hung around their neck, and that's exactly where it belongs.
And then people have the temerity to ask, what has the Republican and Bush administration done against the environment? Oh, please.
Well, they made it voluntary compliance to the cleanup of the oil burning power plant. To do a cleanup, and it's just allowing them to continue on and make the situation even worse, and creating all these hot spots around this country with more mercury pollution. And mercury does not get into fish by any natural cause. It is something man does. We combine it, put it in the atmosphere, and it ends up into the food source.
Absolutely. And I have a dear relative who has right now is struggling with environmental cancer. And there are many, many things in our environment that cause cancer that are man-made, not there naturally, that we have to address that situation, and we have to take care of it and make sure that millions of our citizens don't come down with that and die of it. You know, if we didn't have the EPA, I can't imagine what this country would look like right now.
Nor could I, Guy, and right you are about that. May I mention one final thing before I go in? And this is, you can stop me because I realize that you are serving in the job that you are here with the good graces of the local radio station. But I just find it absolutely astonishing that they found that it's that they need to remove Sam Donaldson from the airways. I mean, what more unbiased person could you have on the airways to bring out pertinent issues that we all need to be discussing? And are there issues so indefensible that they would have to get rid of this last little vestige of some sort of a public debate about issues that concern us with such, you know, graveness? And it's just amazing that they took Sam Donaldson off the air. And I mean, your 1 hour a week just does not have an opportunity to catch up.
Yeah, we're 3 hours,
but we're laid out for 5 days a week here.
Yeah, we're grossly behind in numbers. There's no question about that. And yet they talk about the left-controlled media. That's a joke.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
well, Guy,
Mike.
I'm so grateful to you for the contribution that you're making, and I intend to make a contribution to your show.
Thanks
you
very much. I do appreciate it. Glad to have people listening to the program. I think we have John on next. John, welcome to the program. John in Fort Myers.
Oh, thank you, Guy. Good afternoon. What I wanted to talk about just tails on the gentleman before me, Mike, I believe it was his name.
Yes.
About the use of the media. I mean, who really is controlling the media? If you saw what happened last year, and I know you've talked about this a lot, about how this idea of if you disagree with the Bush administration, you are unpatriotic, was disseminated so much throughout the media and the right wing talk show hosts and on and on and on and on, to the point where radio stations were pulling off the female group from Texas out there.
The Dixie Chicks.
The Dixie Chicks, yeah. I mean, all of this stuff was happening, and to me it was so reminiscent of what, in studying history, what the National Socialists coming out of Bavaria in the 1920s did, to put forth this idea that if you disagreed with them, you were being unpatriotic Germans. If you disagreed with them, expansion into some of the neighboring German states and taking them over militarily, you were un-German. If you questioned that, you were un-German.
You know, John, we've had just about everything except the book burnings out in the street.
Well, and don't you agree? I mean, our children and the people who are just voting for the first time in this election have such, I think that so many of them have such a poor sense of history, because the way history is taught, well, the way it was taught in my day, I did not have a history teacher 7th grade through 12th grade who didn't also coach a sport. And let me tell you, they were great coaches.
Sure.
And that's why they were hired. And so it was a way history was taught, and nobody has a chance to look back and really see how certain political cycles can rise again. And, I mean, this is such an insidious thing to try and take take over people's minds and say, well, if you disagree with us, then you are unpatriotic.
Well, you know, John, one of my favorite quotes, and I hope I can get it right, pertaining to exactly what you're talking about right now about oppression. William O. Douglas said, as nightfall does not come all at once, neither does oppression. In both instances, there's a twilight when everything remains seemingly unchanged. And it is in such twilight that we all must be most aware of change in the air, however slight, lest we become unwitting victims of the darkness.
Amen.
William O. Douglas.
Amen.
That's what we're faced with right now.
I agree. It's what's happening in the media. I find it frightening, and it is ironic that the mantra of, you know, left wing controlled media. I think it. I heard a discussion of this subject about, you know, left wing, right wing media, and I happen to agree with the gentleman who said that liberal journalists are journalists first and liberal second. And conservative journalists are conservatives first and journalists second.
Yeah.
And I think, and I don't want to paint everybody with a broad brush. There are some very well thought out and great conservative voices out there.
Certainly.
And they're putting forth some very good arguments and very swaying arguments. But that's a world apart from, like, Karl Rove, a.k.a. Joseph Goebbels, kind of Republican.
John, I wonder if you've heard, I wonder if you're aware, and I wonder how many of our audience, I'm sure our Democratic Underground audience, our Internet audience has heard this, but I've been wondering when this was coming. I've been wondering when this was going to be put on the table, and it was thrown out on the table this week by none other than our good friend Mr. Sean Hannity, asking if elections should continue if we are attacked. I've been wondering when that thought would come up by them. That scares hell out of me. It literally does, that they would even consider. And so there it is.
And where does he get his playbook from?
I see their talking points every morning.
Mm-hmm.
I see them every morning. And I think it is a disgrace that they've even brought that up. But now they have it on the table. And now they'll discuss it. Should there be elections if we're attacked again? And they would like nothing better than to not have elections.
Well, don't you get a little deja vu with that? Because during the Iran-Contra, the events leading up to that scandal, it was discussed in one of the Situation Rooms in the White House by none other than Oliver North about the logistics of imposing martial law.
One of the more scary individuals in American history.
Yes.
Absolutely. The guy is a proven liar and fool. And I guess he's nobody's fool when it comes to pulling the wool over people's eyes. John, thanks so much for your program.
Thank you, guys.
For your call.
Appreciate your show. Thank you.
I'd like to take just a moment to remind everybody about our program. And we've got a board full of callers here, and I don't want to shortchange everybody that's waiting. Please hang on, and we'll get to you right after the news at the top of the hour. I would like to remind everybody that this is a listener-supported program. And we are the only voice in Southwest Florida that promotes democratic liberal political views. We are, well, we're a voice in the wilderness, because we are out shouted here about 150 hours to 3 a week. And if you're interested in having democratic liberal politics, our views on the radio, locally here in the radio, up and down the coast, and on the Internet, I do want to remind you that we are listener-supported. We would appreciate your support. It costs money to do this show. They don't invite us in and say, hey, come on in and do a Democratic program. We're not that popular with the folks at radio stations in the area. So you can go to our website, www.theguyjamesshow.com, and there's a place on there where you can donate to the program. We'd appreciate it so much. It's only through your generosity that we've been able to stay on the air over these past months, and it's only through your generosity that we will stay on for many, many more months and actually speak with one voice for the voice of progressive democratic liberals everywhere. That's our mission with this program, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And with your help, we'll be able to do that week in and week out. We're going to stop for the news at the top of the hour right now. You're listening to The Guy James Show on WPTK Power Talk 1200, Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be back right after the news.
Coming up on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Anti-war protests on both coasts. I'm Steve Taylor. Tens of thousands of demonstrators turned out in New York. Among them, ABC's Brad Wheelis.
They're pulling a sign here. War is never the answer, I see. Free Palestine. This is an anti-war march covering everything from the war in Iraq to the situation in the Middle East.
Thousands of people gathered here in San Francisco's Dolores Park. One family flew from Hawaii to be at this anti-war demonstration on the one-year anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. I've talked with people from Los Angeles, from Santa Cruz, and Sacramento. But most here are from the Bay Area, and there are many families with kids in strollers. One group, Grandmothers for Peace, is here, many carrying signs that say, bring the troops home now.
KGO's Mary Ellen Geist in San Francisco. President Bush's re-election speech today in Orlando, Florida, was seen by more than 12,000 people, according to organizers. ABC's Ann Compton was there.
He came back to it again and again, the president calling himself a leader not afraid to make decisions.
The man who sits in the Oval Office will set the course of the war on terror and the direction of our economy. The security and prosperity of America are at stake.
President Bush ridiculed his opponent, claiming the Democratic Senator John Kerry takes both sides on issues, especially on the use of force in Iraq. Ann Compton, ABC News, with the Bush campaign in Orlando.
A Santa Barbara newspaper, the News Press, says that witnesses who testified in the 1993 Michael Jackson investigation will testify again before a grand jury as soon as next week. That could be the boy Jackson allegedly molested and the accuser in the first case, plus former Jackson employees. The DA only confirms a grand jury is being convened. Southwestern University law professor Robert Pugsley.
The only reason they would go to the past would be to establish a pattern of activity. But that remains to be seen if they'll be able to call those witnesses over defense objections.
This is ABC News.
All right, people, we need new computers, and they're pretty expensive, so we're cutting back. If you have to travel overnight, try sleeping in a park. Think of it as a business adventure. Next Office Supplies. Instead of using tape or glue, see if anyone's chewing gum. And yes, we're cutting toilet paper.
Looking for an easier way to afford the latest technology?
Sir, why aren't we just getting a Dell?
At DellRadio.com, you'll find great deals on PCs powered by highly reliable Intel processors. Get everything from notebooks and servers to printers and PDAs to complement your PC purchase. All your technology needs, all in one place.
Water, however, will still be available for a nominal fee.
Right now at DellRadio.com, you can get a Dell Dimension desktop with an Intel Pentium 4 processor at 2.66 GHz for just $449 plus tax. Monitor not included. Order select systems today and get double the memory for free. DellRadio.com. Just one more thing that's easy as Dell.
A character first moment. Contentment versus covetousness. Contentment is a character quality, not a status or condition in life. One person can be rich, yet fraught with discontentment, while his poor neighbor may be happy and content. The wealthy and poor, famous and obscure, capable and simple, are all prone to discontentment. As with any other character quality, contentment begins with a choice. It's maintained by self-discipline, and gradually bears fruit that makes it worth far more than the effort required. For thousands of years, the Ten Commandments have provided a moral compass for humanity. The final commandment states, "Thou shalt not covet." Contentment is realizing that true happiness does not depend on material conditions. For more information on building character in your life, visit us on the web at www.characterpitch.com.
His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years, not such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature. And no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, nearly half for unknown reasons. Please support March of Dimes research. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
Hey!
thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Back with you here on the Guy James Show today. Are we on? I think we are. I don't hear anything in my headphones, but I guess we're on. I tell you, I hate these headphones. I'm going to start bringing my own. My headphones are completely dead. Anyway, onward and upward. Let's continue on. Got a little business to take care of, and I hope those of you on the lines will just hang in there for a minute or two. We talked earlier about sending support for the program and gave the website, www.theguyjamesshow.com. Some of you, a couple of you called and asked for the address. It's 12870 Tradeway 4. Bonita, B-O-N-I-T-A, Springs, Florida, 34135. Okay, you got that? And we'll be grateful for that. Right now, I'd like to talk about contributors to the program, some people who are so important to the program that have contributed to keep this show on the air, and I'd just like to read you names of some folks that I'm so grateful to for helping keeping the program on the air. Ann Rose Braddock, Don Richards, Susan Wisland, Sharon Arthur, and I'm sure I'm going to kill some of these names, Kay Breifogel, Carol Patton Dushka, Charles Painter, Patrick O'Sullivan, Elizabeth Harlow, Walter Abbott, Brandon Jones, Judith Schuyler, B.J. Spellman, Dominic Zakari, Ken Shively, Mindy Miller, Bill Beaumont, Marianne Williams, Bernie Stein, Jacqueline Haas, Gil Harold, Kathleen Cifelli, Mike and Eve Morrison, Calvin Atkins, Carolyn Atkins, Robert Winston, Ed Bowers, Wendy Hessman, Martin Cooper, Donald and Judy Downing, Tom Vines, Vince Amici, I know I've ruined that name, Susan Duerman, Abe and Sylvia Bernstein, Barbara Edmonton, Bill Hunt, Margie Hunt, Bill Hunt Jr., Amy Eisler, Ralph Zimmer, Tony Perrone, and Pam Laszlo, and we'll probably do some more names in a little while. So grateful to have all you folks with us. We'd like to announce that the Democratic Women's Club is having their 33rd annual luncheon and fashion show coming up next Saturday, March 27, 2004, at the Naples Beach Hotel. That's next Saturday, 2004. For reservations, contact Nancy Bisbee at 455-1528. 455-1528, and proceeds will partially benefit the scholarship program, and that's Collier County Democrats having their Democratic Women's Club annual luncheon and fashion show. We hope you'll get in on that. And one more thing before we get back to the callers. I'd like you to know all about some good friends of ours over at the McIntosh Bookstore at 2365 Periwinkle Way on Sanibel Island. For you folks around the country, Sanibel Island, one of the more beautiful places on this planet. And there's a great bookstore over there for called the McIntosh Bookstore at 2365 Periwinkle Way. And there's nothing like a neighborhood bookstore. Some of the big guys have tried to recreate them or to mimic them. Even the Internet tries desperately to create a virtual copy, but neither comes close, believe me. One of our favorite is the oldest bookstore on Sanibel Island, the McIntosh Bookstore. It's a genuine, old-fashioned neighborhood bookstore, a store that in too many towns is now only part of the museum's historic town exhibit. But on Sanibel, it's a real thing. It's a thriving store, not virtual, a flesh-and-blood store. McIntosh is operated by Jim Dowling, a lifetime student of literature, a young fellow who is as unique as the store itself. The first step inside the store tells you that this is someplace very special. Maybe it's the aroma of the old wooden floors, the first edition books, or maybe it's the wide variety of titles and subjects to choose from. And also nestled on those old shelves are the latest books on both sides of the political debate. One can find authors of current progressive writings as well as those on the other side of the fence. Currently for our listeners, he's carrying Molly Ivins, Al Franken, Michael Moore, Jim Hightower, and others. And there are also bestsellers for easy summer reading. They've got children's books, gifts, and cards. And Macintosh is the place for books on nature, birding, and shelling, which is so important in this area where we live. When you can't find it anywhere else, you can usually get it at Macintosh. And you can order online at www.sanibelbooks.com. Stop by. Even if you don't buy anything, you're always welcome to come in and take a look at a real bookstore. Again, that's the Macintosh Bookstore, 2365 Periwinkle Way, Sanibel Island, Florida. And again, go to www.sanibelbooks.com. You'll be glad you did. Glad to have those folks along with us. Back to the phones right now, and let's see. Oh, my. We've had somebody waiting a long time here. We've got Jeff in Brooklyn. Jeff, sorry you had to wait so long.
And you're talking about books, neighborhood bookstores. I was up in my neighborhood bookstore here in Brooklyn, and they are valuable. I could go to the Barnes & Noble. I'd rather go to the neighborhood bookshop, I'll tell you. Can you hear me?
Yes, speak up if you can.
Okay. I called in. I don't know how many of your listeners had a chance to watch some of the spectacle from Florida, the first official Bush rally. But let me tell you, after seeing this, Goebbels' planned bridal showers and Leni Riefenstahl film nature documentaries, this was the most over-the-top propagandist thing you've ever seen in your life.
Really? I didn't get a chance to see any of it.
Well, it'll probably be repeated on C-SPAN, because, of course, C-SPAN covered it, CNN covered it, Fox covered it. They didn't cover any of the protests, of course, but they covered that in its entirety. Purely partisan political campaign rally. And what it was the meanness of it struck me. There was a recent Kerry event where the crowd wanted to boo Bush, and Kerry said, no, 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 we're not having any of that. In this event, oh, Bush just reveled in the boos when he mentioned his opponent. He just stood there and loved it. And I would not, I'm the last person to make connections between the Bush family and the Nazis, and any more than I would mention the connection between the Bush family and their business with the Bin Ladens. I wouldn't do that. I would never do that. That wouldn't be fair. It'd be factual, but it wouldn't be fair. But trust me, you take a look at this event, and if there was a liberal media, he would get the same treatment that the Wellstone Memorial had gotten for going way over the top, but he won't.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. That's you've brought up an important point. I hope to get to see some of that if I can stomach it.
Well, 3-hour fast beforehand and have a bag ready anyway, because this is...
Oh, my. Jeff, thank you so much for your call. We're having a hard time hearing you today. I guess we're going to have our phones checked out during the week. We're having a very, very difficult time with our phones.
I'm sorry, then. You have a great day. Talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, Jeff. From our New York Bureau, there's
Bye-bye.
Jeff. We're going to pause for a break right now. You're listening to the Guy James Show. We'll be right back with more great callers right after these words.
Restoring the liberal media. The Guy James Show.
Democrats, there's no doubt America needs new leadership. Grassroots Democrats are energetic leaders in your very own community. They're the folks who get out the vote, register new voters, and inspire us to make America better. You meet them at the grocery store or read their letters to the editor in the paper. They're folks just like you. They're changing the face of local politics in Southwest Florida. These are the people you want to represent you at the Democratic National Convention. All registered Democrats in the 14th Congressional District, that's all of Lee County and parts of Collier and Charlotte counties, are getting ready to vote for the best of our local leaders. You and all All registered Democrats in the 14th Congressional District need to get out and make your voices heard. This is one more opportunity to show our country how serious we are about election 2004. Martha Simons. You've heard her on the Guy James Show often. Martha's running to be a delegate to the Democratic National Convention, and she's asking for your vote. She's not a politician, but she's a tireless and enthusiastic Democratic leader who's bringing her boundless energy from the grassroots. She wants to bring the dynamic ideas of Democratic Party ideals to the convention. She's a fighter and a creative organizer, and she's kept her promise of dedicating every single day to working for dynamic change in our party, always working for the concerns of middle-class and working-class Floridians. She's been a major influence in revitalizing the Democratic Party in Southwest Florida. And so give her every ounce of effort to see John F. Kerry inaugurated as the next president of these United States. This summer, Democratic National Convention will be held in Boston, and Martha Simon believes this election will be one of the most important in our country's history, and she wants to give it all she's got. 125,000 registered Democrats in the 14th Congressional District are eligible to vote on Saturday, April 3rd, at 10 a.m. and no later than 12 noon at Edison Community College, Building A, Room 104. It's not necessary, but if you bring your voter's registration card, it'll make the process easier. And be sure you bring a photo ID. All registered Democrats can come to Edison Community College on Summerlin in Fort Myers. Look for the first building on the left, just south of College Parkway. Use parking lot number 1. It's easier. For more information about the caucus, call the 14th State Committee Chair, Irene Bonu Price, at 239-482-5024. Each Democrat will vote for 2 women and 2 men to send as our delegates. If you want someone can help us win and will wholeheartedly work for our candidates, trust Martha Simons with your vote on Saturday, April 3rd. She'll make your voice heard.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Back with you here on the Guy James Show. And glad to be with you. Right now, I'm going to go back to the phones. We've got a whole board full of people waiting, and gosh, we got Tom over in Wachula has been waiting half the afternoon. Tom, thanks for calling.
No, it's Don.
Don, okay.
Yeah. Well, what?
You've still been waiting half the afternoon, right?
Oh, that's all right. I thank you for taking my call. I have a couple of quick things before I get to the meat of what I want to ask. But number one, the last caller said that it was a partisan politic thing in Orlando with Bush, I don't know what else you would expect.
Sure.
I hope Mr. Kerry is not taking his donors' hard-earned money and sponsoring nonpartisan politics.
Right.
Politics. So, you know, that's what we should expect is partisan politics from both sides. Okay? Now, the second thing, I was listening earlier to Amanda, and did Amanda not say that Tom Daschle introduced House Resolution 4521?
I believe so.
Well, I'd like to point out that Tom Daschle's in the United States Senate, and that the House of Representatives probably wouldn't like it very well.
I think he was introducing
resolutions.
Just a miscue.
I don't know who introduced a resolution, but it wasn't Tom Daschle.
Yeah, just a miscue on her part, yeah.
I apparently so. Okay. The main thing I wanted to ask, and I'm a registered Democrat, have been for over 40 years. What I want to know, and I get tired of both sides spending all their time criticizing their opposition. What I want to know from Mr. Kerry, or from you, if you have some opinion, what are the Democrats going to do about the economy to make it better?
About the economy?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, first of all, I think we have to stop giving all the advantages to big business, which is they have raped and pillaged their way through this administration so far.
Do you think so, really?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, they have. You know, the contributors to the Bush program, we talked about last week for a little while, about the Lincoln bedroom again, about how they whined and whined about that during the Clinton administration.
Right.
And here they've sold it many more times than Clinton did, and they weren't to any celebrities either. Clinton loved to have celebrities in there, but... The Bush people.
Well, I'm not much on celebrity.
I'm not either. I wish they'd just keep their mouth shut when it comes to politics.
I wish they would, too.
I don't care.
None of them really know what the hell they're talking about.
I don't care what any of them say about politics. I just don't care.
Yeah, I like watching these beautiful women in the movies, but, you know,
yeah.
When they want to start talking politics, they turn me off.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's right. And I don't want to hear what the politics or what the actors have to say. I really don't.
Let me ask you what. What can we do to make the economy better? I mean, I haven't heard either side really saying much of anything about... Well,
I go along with what Dennis Kucinich has been saying all along, and Dennis Kucinich has been against GATT and NAFTA all along. I have been. I think that was a mistake by the Clinton administration to help push that thing through.
Yeah.
I don't think it's done us any favors. I'd love to see that both those go repealed. I'm no expert on economics. All I can do is take the word
either.
Of people on both sides. But here's a fact you can't deny. And I've done a lot of research to back this up, and on every administration since the Hoover administration, when you add up all the figures from both sides, the Democratic and Republican side, during Democratic administration, the economy has thrived more, and there's been twice as many new jobs in the country during a Democratic administration as opposed to Republican administrations. Now, if it were one or two administrations I was talking about here, you might think it was some sort of an anomaly of some kind, but it is not. If you go for ever since the Hoover administration and add up those figures, that can't be a coincidence. It can't be.
Well, the only thing, and of course, as I say, I worked in a Democratic statewide campaign in Indiana back in '72. I was a campaign man for a guy that was running for Attorney General of Indiana. But all I remember is, boy, I made a lot of money when Reagan was in office.
Did you?
And yeah.
Well, good.
I'm in sales. Been in sales for, you know, almost 40 years. And, boy, well, in the late 80s, wow.
Well, you know, I there were some good times during the Reagan administration, but the thing is, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, I enjoyed some good economic times during the Reagan administration. I don't think he had anything to do with it, but it was a time that really helped get rid of much of the middle class. There was a great redistribution of wealth during the Reagan administration, and it has continued on, I'm afraid, until the point that the middle class is disappearing, and no society can survive for very long. No democratic society can survive very long without a middle class, and that troubles me greatly. Don, thank you so much for your call. I do appreciate it very much.
Hey, well, I'm in Florida. I'll listen in again.
Thank you very, very much.
Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
Bye.
We've got... Who's been waiting the longest here? We've got John and John. We've got John and Benita. John, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate you taking my call. I just have one comment I want to make, and I've only listened to your show a few times, and I listen to a lot of talk radio, and I seem to hear the same thing on the Sean Hannity show. I hear the same thing on your show, and I think I just have a suggestion. You had a caller about a half hour ago, a young lady that was talking about a vigil that they had down in Naples, 500 and some people down there.
Mm-hmm.
And she made some decent points, although I have to say at the beginning when she was talking about people helping other people, I think, you know, there's a lot of Democrats out there and there's a lot of Republicans that help other people. I don't think only Democrats help other people. I think a lot of people help other people. What I thought took away from her credibility and what it sounded like you were agreeing with was when she got to the point where she said these people come down for vacation, they lay on the beach in their bikinis, think they're going to get away from the real world. Well, you know, working people have a right to take a vacation. And when she talked about how we confronted them on this beautiful beach, I thought, you know, is it your object to ruin somebody's vacation? Do you think it's un-American to take a vacation and lay on the beach? I don't think there's anything un-American about that.
No, I don't think that was her point at all. I don't agree that was her point. Her point just was that they were going to see that demonstration of the crosses on the beach has been planned for a long time, and they didn't do that to upset anybody's vacation or anything of the sort. That just happened to be where they had it today, and people from all over the country and all over the world, in fact, were going to see it.
Well, you know, if I had witnessed it, I probably would have thought that was really a nice thing, and even if I was on vacation, it wouldn't hurt my vacation. That's kind of how it sounded, and it more or less made it sound like it's un-American to do something like that.
No,
the way I took it.
No, I'm sorry if you misunderstood. I didn't mean it that way, and I know.
Not what you said. What she said.
Yeah, I know she didn't.
Sound like I think it's the responsibility. And granted, Sean Hannity goes over the top. He's got good points. You've got good points. But I think sometimes we present them to a little bit exaggerated way. And
well,
I think that as a talk show host, and, you know, you may disagree with me, but I think that it's your responsibility to kind of keep those people honest and let them present a point of view, but don't let it go too far because then it kind of loses credibility. I like to listen to both sides and see
sure.
what I think about it.
Well, I agree with what you just said, and I can tell you, and I know this for a fact, she did not mean it that way about the vacationers. I do know that it wasn't in any way disparaging people from taking a vacation or enjoying themselves here, because after all, we depend on that here, and we would never make fun of anybody taking a vacation or doing it the wrong way. That is not what she meant. I can tell you that for
sure.
A fact.
Well, and another thing I have to agree with you about, your last caller mentioned it and you talked about it. I was really glad to hear you say that you don't want to hear the actors talk, because you know what? They probably hurt the Democratic Party more than they do anybody else.
I agree with you.
They get up there and they say these stupid things at the most awkward times, and all it does is take away from the credibility. So I just like to see things get cleaned up on both sides. I think there's good Republicans and good Democrats out there. I mean, you know, come on, we're all Americans.
There are, and you know, I agree with you on that, John, and I've been saying it. You probably won't agree with what I'm going to say. You probably heard me say it before. But you're absolutely right. There are good Republicans and good Democrats, and I'd love to go back to the good old days where we could sit and talk and have a good dialogue, a civil discourse on the political issues. But I don't believe this particular administration. I've never said this about any other Republican administration, and I've been a good Democrat all my life. There's been some Republicans I highly respected, but I don't believe these people are Republicans. I do not believe they are. I believe there's something other. And a lot of my Republican friends are coming to the realization at this time that there's something other than good Republicans at all. And they've hurt the Republican Party, and I think they'll continue to do so because of the radical element. John, thanks so much for your call.
Thanks a lot.
Great hearing from you. We've got John once again, another John over in Cape Coral. John, welcome to the show.
Enjoying your show as per usual.
Thank you.
You know, with the year that we've been in Iraq, I thought I'd like to discuss it if I could.
Sure.
As I understand the justification of going into Iraq, one was the weapons of mass destruction, the other was because of the linkage with Al-Qaeda and the saving America from terrorism. And as best as I can understand and I've heard, none of that is true, that it's all based on false premise.
Yep.
Well, if we did not have a moral justification to invade Iraq, and it's the first time we have, you know, engaged in this type of preemptive war, I have a further question. What right do we have to occupy it?
Oh, I I don't think we have any right to occupy it. I think we're stuck in a situation now. What do we do? Right now, I think we're damned if we do and damned if we don't. We never should have been in this position in the first place.
Well, you know, one of the things I like to do every once in a while is put on the History Channel, and they had quite a show. I don't know if it was History Channel or History Channel International, the second one, had quite a show on the French resistance during World War II. And the resistors who were fighting the Nazis who occupied their country were the heroes. And I look at what's going on in Iraq and what the Iraqis are doing, and I'm wondering if what they're doing isn't analogous to what the French resistance did during World War II, and except that we're looking at them as terrorists, whereas the French resistance were the heroes. I begin to have a little problem with the whole picture of what's going on over there. And I further raise the question, if these people are all terrorists coming from outside, how can they exist in that country if they didn't have support from the population?
Well, you're right. And the Bush administration has used this this justification all along. Look, we've got them all over there in Iraq now, and that way they won't be coming to our shores because we're fighting them over in Iraq. Tell the people of Madrid that.
And there's another issue, if I could bring it up, related to that, which has somehow been washed under the table. And I don't know if you've discussed it, but that's the young soldier in Miami, the National Guardsman, who, after 5 months of active service, finally decided, I don't want to go back and desert it.
Right.
Have you discussed that issue?
I haven't discussed it today. I've heard about it.
And, you know, one of the questions was, is he deserting in a time of war? Well, first of all, he did his 5 months, and I understand he did very well when he was over there, but he says, I don't understand the reason we're over there. I don't want to go back, and I'm sure he's probably not alone. But then there's this question that came in my mind. Are we really at war?
Well, that's anybody's guess what we're in right now. I mean, they call this a war on terror. I agree with many people around the world to think it's more of a police action than a war.
Well, just from a legal standpoint, and I ask this question. The conservatives, your favorite people that you've been quoting all afternoon, like to quote the Constitution. Am I correct?
You're right.
If I understand the Constitution of the United States, a war can only be there when it's declared by Congress. I don't believe there ever was a declaration of war that was voted by Congress. A lot of other things were voted, but never a declaration of war.
Well, that's been a murky area in the last two or three administrations, I think.
Well, if there was never a declaration of war, are we legally at war?
Yeah, good question, John. Good question.
Well, it doesn't seem to be a very good answer for it, but that's my question. And if you observe the Constitution, you're a strict constitutionalist, as our conservative friends are, is this young man really deserting in time of war?
Yeah. Well, as you know, John, many people are strict constitutionalists only as it pertains to the particular issue they're looking at.
Well, again, they seem to also question their morals. I mean, they seem to have good morals, except when it doesn't favor their particular immediate agenda. But I question, do we have the moral right to do what we're doing over there as the Iraqis are resisting? Are our soldiers in a good, firm, moral position to be enforcing what they're doing? Is our country have the right to do it? And I think these are questions, you know, the moral question needs to be there. We've put ourselves in as a self-declared policeman, but where is the justification in any moral way to put ourselves in that position, especially when it seems to be based on premises that are untrue? And
well,
those are my questions of the day.
Exactly right, John. When the whole foundation of the basic premise to go in there turns out to crumble for lack of truth. Truth is the foundation any premise for war should be built upon. When that whole foundation crumbled, our moral authority in Iraq was lost.
Well, you see, as we go into this presidential campaign, I think people need to look and say, does President Bush have the moral authority to do what he's done? Everybody says, oh, he's a good and scrappy fighter. That doesn't make him right. That doesn't put us in a moral position. And if you're not in a firm moral position, it's awfully hard to win the hearts and minds of people.
It is exactly that, John. I agree with you very much. We've got to move on, John. Thank you for your call. Thank you. Always great to get good calls from our listeners. 888-602-7500. 888-602-7500. 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. And, you know, you folks are what makes a good political talk show. Not me. I just sit here and kind of like the referee, you know, throw in my 2 cents worth now and then. But, you know, it brought up the moral authority. of George W. Bush. Why do I think John Kerry is more qualified to be president of the United States than George W. Bush? First of all, he's a better man. Right down to the core, he's a better man. He's been a good man his entire life. From all indications, the Republicans have tried to smear him, and they've been unable to. He's not a former drunk. He's not a drug abuser. They haven't been able to find anything on the man. And he's a good man. He went and did his duty in Vietnam, accepted what it was he had to do there, got 3 Purple Hearts, I believe a Silver Star, and came home with honor, and again did the right thing, and demonstrated and protested against a war that was never the right thing to do. You can disagree with that if you want to, but the man, having been there, as far as I'm concerned, had more right to protest it against it than anybody else. If you've been there, you can walk the walk and talk the talk. And while I can agree that America's had some tough sledding the past couple of years, I also think that Junior Bush is the most ill-prepared dolt to ever sit in the Oval Office. I'll bet you that a year ago, when we were promised the shock and awe, remember that, the shock and awe of the Iraq War, I'll bet that Bush and his puppeteers were absolutely giddy thinking about the political advantage they'd gain over this war. I wonder how they really feel now that it's a year later and nearly the entire world, think about that, the entire world has turned against him because of his reckless stupidity and downright deceit in getting us into that mess, all because he wanted to prove to the world how tough he is. Remember those words, you're either with us or against us? He boasted about that. They probably envisioned him on some stage in downtown Baghdad giving a victory speech a year later. American flags flying everywhere and grateful Iraqis all waving flags and cheering him with adoration. Instead, he was at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, giving a speech the other day to another hand-selected audience. It seems all of his audience are hand-selected. After all, we wouldn't want anybody in a normal audience to voice their displeasure, now would we? This guy's never gone in front of anybody but a hand-selected audience. And if I didn't know better, and I really don't, I might wonder if Bush were still drinking himself into a stupor like in the old days. Well, the days aren't too old because I guess he was still in his 40s. But here he is in Fort Campbell, Kentucky, giving a speech to a hand-picked audience about how great everything is in Iraq. And in the meantime, someone drove a car bomb into a hotel and blew it up, killing a bunch of innocent people. Within 24 hours of his speech, 3 more of our soldiers have been killed and a couple of dozen wounded. So there he stood, telling the soldier audience, we've got him on the run. Got who on the run, I wonder? What the hell is he talking about, got him on the run? Here's these insurgents pelting our troops with RPGs and mortars, and we've got them on the run? As usual, reality totally escapes Junior Bush and his administration. And then he brags about how his administration has made, and I quote, the Mideast and the world safer, unquote. Do you suppose the people in the world, say in Madrid or Basra or Tel Aviv or Baghdad or Istanbul or Riyadh and other terrorist targets, do you think they feel safer? Do you? Do you think all of Europe feels safer right now? For the next few months, we're going to hear a barrage of propaganda coming from the Bush administration and all of his minions, probably comparing him to MacArthur, Patton, and Eisenhower all rolled into one. If you're able to think for yourself, if you're able to look past the bull coming from his campaign, I think you'll see the truth. And the truth is that this guy, as a president of the United States, is a miserable failure on a scale not imagined. Not imagined by even his most ardent detractor. I never wanted the guy as a president, but I got to tell you, this is a fact. I never dreamed the depth of his incompetence. Never had a clue. I got it. I was way off. And many people were. I can only hope that a small percentage, at least, of the right-wing media-controlled zombies will snap out of their trance and finally figure out that they've been screwed big time by these guys. Economically, here on the home front, our standing in the world community has been totally destroyed. And you've got Republicans on the other side, or these neocons, whatever you want to call them, saying, what the hell do we care what the rest of the world thinks of us? Well, I care what we think other nations think about us. And we better care. You know, we're trapped on this planet with everybody else that's on it, and we better, by God, get along with most of them. We're always going to have wars. We're always going to have problems in the world. Always. But we don't need to alienate the entire planet against the United States of America, and that is exactly what this guy and his administration have done. It's exactly what they've done. And it's to such a huge degree that you have to wonder, oh, I tell you, it drives me crazy thinking about it. It drives me crazy thinking about it that they could have done what they've done to our country. And then all week long, we had people say, I don't care. I don't. What do we care what Europe thinks about us? It's like the big bully out in the schoolyard, if you think about it. The big bully goes around bopping everybody in the nose and having his way, winning every argument with power, slugging them in the face, knocking them down because he's the big bully. Someday on that playground, several of those kids are going to gang up on the big bully and beat the crap out of him, and then who's he going to turn to? Who's he going to turn to for help then? And that's the position we are in right here in the United States right now. And as a citizen of this country, I resent that. I resent this man putting our country in that position. He had no right. He had no right whatsoever to do this. Representing 280 million people, and now the rest of the world's looking at like we're a bunch of warmongering fools. At least many of them have the compassion enough and understanding enough of the American people to know that the people aren't at fault. That it's a rogue, renegade administration running amok, running against what the American people want. We're going to go to Diane in Estero. Sorry for running on, Diane, but this whole problem's got me upset.
I can tell. I just was wondering if you had understood that the Senate and the Congress all voted for this war and gave President Bush their vote to go to war.
Well, it's not exactly true. He promised.
Was one of the ones who voted for that?
Yes, and they did it on bogus administration supplied by the administration. You know, when someone comes to you with a pack of lies trying to talk you into something, and you have
who supplied the information?
What do you mean who supplied the information? It all went through the White House.
Did it not come through the intelligence?
It certainly did, and it all went with many caveats through the White House. The White House was told that the CIA report and many other reports that they weren't necessarily true, and yet they passed it on to Congress just like it was. There was one caveat after another that the Bush administration did not listen to. Even in his speech in the State of the Union, in that speech, they told him that what he said wasn't true, and he went ahead and did it anyway. And I might add that also that many people voted for this war with the understanding that Mr. Bush was going to go back to the UN and was going to build a genuine coalition and was going to get second vote, and he promised he would, and he did not.
And would you only go to the UN to get approval to go to war? Do you have to have the UN say yes, or else you don't do it?
Well, the UN...
Any reason that you might say... Gee, you know, maybe the UN, you know, with the other countries, maybe they don't have our best interests at heart.
So the rest of the world is wrong and we're right in this, then. Is that right?
Do you ever think that might be the case? Would you ever go to war without the UN approving it?
I might think I could fly to the moon. That wouldn't make it true. We should have had the United Nations. We should have had the United Nations approval on this one. This is an area with immense natural resources affecting Europe, affecting the United States. It affects much of the world, and we had no right to go in there as the big bully and make our presence known without the blessing of the rest of the world.
All the dead people in Iraq?
What about all the dead people that have been there, been killed since this war started? You know, the Saddam Hussein was put in power and had the blessing. Had that during the Bush one administration and during the Ronald Reagan administration, who helped put this guy on the map and who helped arm him? Who did?
Without Ronald Reagan and without George Bush
the first, this guy would have been nothing. Nothing.
And did Clinton not bomb him?
Yes, he did.
Why? What did Clinton think of him?
Well, he didn't like him. Nobody liked him. Nobody's defending Saddam Hussein. But I tell you what, somebody's absolutely crazy if they think that that guy was a big threat to the United States. He was not. That's been proven over and over and over again. And all you need to ask yourself, and it seems to me none of you conservatives will ask yourself, was it true or not? Was it true or not? That's the only question, that he had weapons of mass destruction.
It's a righteous war. And just one other point.
A righteous war? I guess the Crusades were a righteous war as well, huh? We can just go over and do what we want to. You don't know what you're talking about. The only issue here is whether or not those weapons of mass destruction were there. And, madam, I submit to you that they were not there. They knew they were not there. If they thought for a minute they were there, we would never have gone to war against Iraq. Never. Bush and his group are not big enough fools to have gone into Iraq if they thought for one minute that 130,000 American troops would have been devastated by a biological or chemical warfare. Did you ever consider that? Did you ever consider that? You think Bush and Karl Rove and his administration were fool enough to put 130,000 lives on the line politically if they thought that Saddam Hussein had any capacity whatsoever to gas him or use biological or nuclear weapons on him? Do you think he hid those weapons? Oh, my God. Nobody will answer that question, will they? Nobody will answer that question. Where are the weapons? Where are the weapons? They never make any sense, do they? Ed and Benita. Ed, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks, Guy. What a program. I tell you, the first 15 minutes of this show, you told it like it was. The Democrats, we don't call names. We don't get ugly. But then when the first guy called and asked you a question, you called him a moron.
Well, he was a moron, you see. When morons call, like yourself, when morons call and they're a moron, why you have to call them a moron? To call them anything else would be totally disingenuous, and we like to tell the truth on that program. So if you're a moron and you call in and you act like a moron, well, we just simply tell the truth and say you're a moron. It's that simple. And I might add that not all Republicans are morons. I know some very good. I have friends and relatives and neighbors that are good Republicans that were able to sit and talk about this in good terms. And I might also add that many of my Republican friends are now admitting that Mr. Bush and his administration have done one great job of pulling the wool over on Republican voters, and things are going to change next time around. We've got Marlene in Kentucky. Marlene, welcome to the show.
Hey, Guy. You got your hands full today, huh?
Well, not from them. They're always a bunch of lightweights. When they call in and yell and call us, you know the old deal, commies.
Well, they're never going to believe us, but let's give them some of what some people in their own party are saying.
You've seen that.
John McCain.
You've seen
he's
that.
Spending like a drunken sailor.
Yeah.
Chuck Hagel on CNN the other day, I tell you, he probably got his butt chewed when he got back to his office. He said that Bush and this whole crew were inept and incompetent the way that after they took Baghdad and all the looting and stuff like that.
Well, and there are many of them real sore right now over this Medicare deal when they all got hoodwinked by their own administration, and there's some real sore, touchy Republicans right now in Congress.
I tell you, I mean, if it wasn't an imminent threat, I'm beginning to think maybe we did okay by going and taking Saddam out. But if it wasn't an imminent threat, we didn't have to hurry. We could have waited for the body armor. We could have waited and been a little bit more diplomatic when it came to NATO or the UN or what, getting more support. But you can't go off half-cocked. And, I mean, we're paying all these practically third-world countries to send 1,000 troops a clip. I mean,
Yeah, they were all like they always said, the coalition of the willing. They were the coalition coalition of the prepaid. That's how it worked.
Well, I've got a campaign theme for us. It's about credibility, stupid. These Republicans have been saying about the Madrid bombing and how the Spanish are appeasers and stuff like that. They were mad because, I think you covered this earlier, they were mad because the Spanish government lied and was trying to say it was the Basque.
Yeah.
And
that's why they got turned out.
They weren't appeasing the terrorists. They just, you know, people don't like it when their government lies to them.
And exactly right.
And I'm to the point where anything that this administration comes out with, I believe exactly the opposite, because it's not just the war, it's No Child Left Behind, and it's clean skies and it's healthy forests. It's exactly the opposite of what they say.
Yeah, they've proven over and over and over again. You know, I've gotten to the point where I don't believe anything they say, and I hate to, you know, even during the Nixon administration, I respected a lot of things Nixon did. I didn't think he was a liar about everything. I didn't think Reagan was a liar about everything. But this guy,
Well, you know, they way back when they were talking about this disinformation network, I think they've actually put it in and that the media is cooperating with them. I mean, they're sure as hell not giving both sides of the story.
Yeah. Well, it's that left-wing media you were talking about. Hey, Marlene, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
How much of a dope do you have to be to sit around on Saturday afternoon, listen to your radio, after listening to God knows how many dozen hours all week long of right-wing extremist radio? How much of a dope do you have to be to sit in, if you're one of those? How much of a dope and a loser do you have to be to sit and listen to a show from the other side that you don't agree with and sit and wait for 3 hours to call in so that you can yell at the guy? I love it. I really do. When someone like that last guy calls, we should have some sort of an intelligence test that we could give him first. And if you don't get above the double-digit scale on the IQ scale, we shouldn't allow you on. If you got one of those mid-double-digit IQs like that last guy that called, we just should have some sort of a test. You know, this is a great age of technology here. There ought to be some voice ID thing where you can call in and the computer can figure out what your IQ is, and if you pass, well, you can be on the show. Huh? Is that too much to ask? Oh, my. We've got Mary in Naples. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Guy. I just wanted to say, with all this rhetoric about the elections and the candidates and all that, why don't we just block President Bush from being on the ballot in Florida? After all, this is where the controversy was, and he wasn't elected here. He was selected by the federal judge. So we should block him out from running again because he never ran in the first place.
Well, you know, we've always said, I know they can't stop him from running, but... We've always said he wasn't elected; he was selected. And
right.
I see the good friend of the Bush administration, Justice Anton Scalia, who went on the little duck hunting trip with Dick Cheney, said that he resented the fact that people thought that Dick Cheney and he went duck hunting together so they could discuss the case coming up in front of the Supreme Court by Dick Cheney. He resented the fact that people that thought he could get bought off that cheap. Well, he got bought off that cheap the last time. What makes him think is any different now?
Exactly. Now, my point is that he could be disqualified just simply because his brother, Jeb Bush, is the governor of the state, and there was hanky-panky before, and no Republican should be, or maybe substitute another Republican. Let somebody else run on his place. And if he gets the vote, fine. If he doesn't, that means that's a vote for Bush, and if he doesn't, that's a vote for the Democrats. Because I don't really see how he could possibly, you know, the Democrats could win with the large states like Florida, California, New York, and all that, running on a full ticket without having some kind of justification for what happened in the last election.
You're absolutely right, Mary. I thank you very much for your call. We appreciate it. Well, we had a little ad we were going to play there, but it didn't play. So I guess it's too late for that right now. We already pushed the button. Guess not. Guess we weren't ready for that. Well, a little technical problem right there. We'll get it cured. We've got about, Man, how time flies on a day like this. Just flies, I'm telling you. I don't know where the time went today. We've got just a few moments. In fact, we've had trouble with phones all day long as well, and we hope we're going to get to the bottom of that by next week. It's hard to do a program once a week and have everything absolutely, as my mother used to say, hunky-dory. Anybody else hear that term? That's one of those old, yeah, Biz has heard that term. Don't know where that came from. I think probably from the old country. A lot of ethnic folks that came over around the turn of the century. A lot of the old terms are dying off. But I guess old codgers like me just like to keep them going anyway. But we do appreciate having all you folks call in today. Even the crazies that call, we appreciate their calls as well. That proves they're out there listening. Out there sitting all day long, okay, what can I call in and say that'll really, really disrupt this program? Let's see. They've got no screeners. They've got no delays, so we can call in and say anything we want to. Yeah, let's call and disrupt the program, and let's see. Let's call him a socialist and a commie and a liar, and boy, that'll break his heart, and that'll make all of the listeners all over the world and locally here not believe him anymore. I gotta wonder. I have a mental image, form a mental image, if you will, of people sitting around the radio on Saturday afternoon and doing that. And hey, boy, I'm going to get him. You just wait. I'm gonna tell him when I get on there. I'm gonna. Oh man, I got my pickup truck parked out in the driveway with them big knobby tires sitting 6 feet in the air, and I got my gun rack in the back there, and I'm just boy. You just wait. I'm gonna tell that boy. I'm gonna tell him when I get on the air. I'm gonna set him straight. I can see it now. I really can see it now. We're going to pause for a very quick break, just for 1 minute, and we're going to be right back. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with you.
His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years, not such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, nearly half for unknown reasons. Please support March of Dimes research. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
While there are many kinds of addictive disorders, overeating, overspending, using drugs, or abusing alcohol, there is only one first step to recovery, say medical experts at Pacific Care Behavioral Health. That step is admitting that there's a problem. As long as a person denies there is a problem, he can't solve it. The next step is seeking out professional help. A trained professional can help evaluate the problem, help the recovering addict develop a plan, and start him or her on the road to recovery.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Back with you here in the closing moments of the Guy James Show. Do want to remind you once again, especially, all of our listeners, whether you're near or afar, that we are a donor-supported program. You won't hear many commercial messages on the program. And we would love to hear from you. You can reach us at www.theguyjamesshow.com. And, of course, our email is guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. Be nice now. Some of you aren't so nice. not my liberal friends. They're all nice. And we appreciate so much, more than you'll know, the many encouraging and great letters we get from our Democratic liberal friends. And even from some of our right-wing friends, we get encouraging and good mail from them now and then. We get an awful lot of bad mail. I got to tell you that. They just love to be nasty. So I guess the thing is, my gloves are off. It's a bare-knuckles fight this year. It's going to remain a bare-knuckles fight. That's the way it looked. And don't come to me if you're looking for someone to lay down for you, because I'm not going to do it. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Program coordinator, Martha Simon. We thank the staff for their continued dedication, and we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been The Guy James Show.
The news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
On a day when hundreds of thousands of demonstrators around the world protested President Bush and the Iraq War, the president spent the day with friends. I'm Steve Taylor. The big Republican crowd in Orlando heard a re-election speech in which the president cited accomplishments.
You captured or killed many of the key leaders of the al-Qaeda network.
And called his main Democratic opponent a serial tax raiser. Give us